B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshitz. Here are the Bankroll. Who you got?
Hey, welcome in. It is the Over Under 985 podcast. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshitz. We are live. Let's get it going here. We're on Periscope. We're on Twitter. And we are on YouTube. I didn't realize YouTube was a big thing. But people are watching on the tube. So... glad to hear that. Again, we try to do less than 2 hours every week. It's impossible. There's too many games. But, you know, again, we're here for the insight. We give you a couple of picks here and there. And last week we went 11-0-1 on our picks that we gave out on this show, that we gave out on our Saturday Live program. And we gave out a couple on Twitter as well, if you were following along at Joey Mer and at Dan Lifshitz. And we do a weekly appearance on Toucher and Rich, and we didn't lock him in, Dan, as PPs, but we gave out two picks today.
Yeah, we did. I will be giving that one out as a PP, by the way.
So for those who listen this morning, you can go to 985thesportshub.com, 7 a.m., the Bankroll Boys segment, and you can listen to those right there. So, great week last week, Dan. I think one reason for me is, you know, now we're starting to understand some teams. We know some spots to play, and the NFL, like, dude, underdogs have been crushing, especially last week. And the overs are starting to come back to reality a little bit. You know, the unders come back, but the season statistics, like, it's not out of hand. You know, dogs are covering more than favorites. You know, the over is slightly gone over than the under. But for the most part, dude, it's wide open. There's no like one side versus the other. It's been tricky. But all right, dude, I think we should get into it. I know tonight's Thursday night. We have an NFL game. And I believe we have two college football games tonight.
Indeed.
One team we haven't seen yet, from what I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Colorado State has not played this season yet. We saw Fresno State last week take on Hawaii and get clapped by that Hawaii offense. Five turnovers for Fresno, including three in the red zone. Brutal.
Cordero's very good, Hawaiian quarterback there.
I just thought Fresno's turnovers just – fucking killed them. Yeah, anytime you have five turnovers in a game, I mean, you almost never win that game. Jake Haner, who is the quarterback for Fresno State, needs to do a better job tonight of not turning the ball over. Simple as that. Simple as that, Joe.
Yep. All right, so we got South Alabama, Georgia Southern, and then Colorado State in Fresno State. So give us some time. We'll get to those. We'll probably do the South Alabama game and then the NFL game and then the other college football game. And then Friday night, I think we should lead off here.
Agreed.
Minnesota travels to Maryland. Maryland, whoa!
Oh, man, I told you, that team is bad. Scotty Montgomery and the Maryland offense is putrid, dude. Putrid.
So, little Tua there, Tuluia. Well, you know, didn't work out so well. We had Maryland's been bad for a while. Now they had the kid McFarland a year ago, and they put up like a ton of points with him. Michigan at least Minnesota hung around with Michigan, and the Michigan came away with it.
I told you there wasn't a single person on Michigan last week. Not one.
I know. And dude, there were people on this podcast that were clamoring for Joe Milton.
I agree. Yep. Yeah. So shout out to you guys.
Maryland has lost eight straight games. all in conference, dude. That's not good. And they play Penn State next. So the thing here is, Dan, do they cover the total? And I think I'm going to say yes. Last year, Minnesota went 52-10.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to PP it or anything, but like this to me, I'm not backing Maryland in this spot.
I'm not either, but I really don't know how much I want to do with the game. Just to be perfectly honest with you, I mean, Minnesota was super impressive that first half, but the second half they faded away. And I think that, you know, we kind of saw, you know, what they were, you know, more of a good team, not a great team. They're not going to win anything, or, you know, they'll probably be a bowl team, because I don't think you need to win 6 games to be bowl eligible this year. So they'll probably be a bowl team, but they're not, you know, an elite Big Ten team this year. They're not in the Big Ten championship or have a chance for that, in my opinion. Maryland might be the worst team in the Big Ten, however, and, you know, a 20-point spread opening at, I think it opened at 20, dropped back down to 19.5. Let me see where it is live right now. It is at 19.5 per bookmaker. And so the total is 61.5 on this one, by the way. I just think that I'm not sure how much Maryland's going to score. You have to expect a better offensive output than 3 points. But Minnesota, I mean, Rashad Bateman is back after he opted out and opted back in. So he's playing for Minnesota. They should be good, but still, it is interesting that it opens at 20, goes down to 19.5. This is probably a game I just kind of want to avoid.
Yep. Now that's a little Friday night teaser there. A little bit of Maryland and Minnesota. I like Minnesota. I think they're a good team, well coached, and we'll see what happens with them. ECU Tulsa. We've seen Tulsa a couple times this year. Been a decent team.
I told you they are fucking good. That is a good team.
I think their defense is good. Their offense can put up points. So this one's interesting because we know ECU can. I mean, I don't know who their quarterback is going to be. Maybe it's not a starting freshman.
It sounds like it's going to be Aller. So it sounds like he's going to be back for ECU.
Okay. 17. So the last time that they last year, they met in late November. Tulsa won 49-24.
Yeah, I think that this is a game where if ECU has their quarterback, 17 might be too much. I think Tulsa is going to be a legitimate competitor in the American. No, they're definitely not as good as Coastal Carolina. They are not the Chanticleers, but they have a very, very good defense, a returning quarterback, and Zach Smith, who is, you know, seasoned veteran. Oh, he made a terrible mistake against ECU last week. Tulsa should have won that game probably by 50 or 60, to be perfectly honest with you. But, you know, I don't want to be against Tulsa here. I think ECU should find a way to cover. It initially opened at 18.5. We are down to 17. It is juiced to South Carolina now. So there definitely is a little bit of sharp money coming in on ECU. I'm sorry, not South Carolina, East Carolina. So there definitely is some sharp money coming out on ECU. I think if you really want to play ECU, you probably need a 17.5 here, you know, to feel safe. I think that ECU ultimately makes this a game, but I don't want to get in front of that Tulsa wagon right now. And I really do think that that team is a wagon. We saw how competitive they were against Oklahoma State, you know, the first week. And Oklahoma State is a team that, you know, looks like they might win the Big 12. So, you know, this is not a Tulsa team I want to get in front of. An ECU still coming off the COVID issues. Quarterback is back, but, you know, how is the rhythm affected? So this is a game I'm going to stay away from in terms of the side and the total, which is 60.5. But I think I'm going to watch this game. I think this is probably my favorite matchup Friday night.
Okay, and then we got a good one here. I've looked into this one a little bit, Dan. We have Hawaii traveling to Wyoming. Now, Hawaii struggles in Wyoming over the last couple of years, but they're a different team, different quarterback. I think Hawaii's the play here. And Wyoming struggled last week. They ended up losing in overtime to Nevada. Their starting quarterback, leg injury, he is done. Didn't put any pressure on it. I don't love Hawaii and back-to-back mainland trips. I'm just not a, you know, and let's not mention COVID. I don't want to do that today. But back-to-back trips is not easy right now. They're healthy. Their offense, I think, is good. I know you mentioned the turnovers there. I think the over's a play here. I do. I like Hawaii to win. I like Hawaii right now. I'm going to sit on it for a little bit longer. I see Hawaii putting up over 30 points then.
So I definitely agree with you on the total, which is now at 59 at Bookmaker, currently speaking. 59.5 now, just moved in the last few minutes. So it's now 59.5 minus 108. Here's what I'll say about the Hawaii-Wyoming game. Wyoming lost Sean Chambers, as you talked about, their starting quarterback, in the first three plays. He played three plays out. He is probably done for the season, it sounds like, okay? Hawaii and Chevron Cordero looked really, really good. Again, they were the beneficiary of five Fresno State turnovers. So I do kind of want to repeat that and just kind of make sure that people are aware. Hawaii's offense really came from, you know, the turnover side. Wyoming, to me, finally got it started in the second half with Levi Williams, and they were significantly better in that second half against Nevada. If Craig Bowles is able to kind of continue what he was doing with Levi Williams and, you know, kind of tailor the game plan towards Levi Williams, I thought that what they did in the first half was they were trying to do, you know, more Sean Chambers stuff. And it felt like Levi Williams just doesn't have the skill set. He's not a great passer. He drops back there and he goes, ugh, you know, you're kind of scared when he throws the ball. I think Wyoming is the side here. I do. I think that Wyoming's going to bounce back and win this game. And I think ultimately Hawaii is a very good team. But in Laramie, back-to-back road trips, Joe, to the mainland, this has a Wyoming feel to me. Hawaii opened at 2.5. It's now Wyoming minus one. One and a half now. I'm not going to BP it, but this is something I may add. I do agree with you on the total. Hawaii is going to score points. Wyoming is going to score points. I think you're looking more towards a higher scoring game. I know that people are going to be probably on the under in this one. We already have 60% of the public on the under, but I do think that in general, we're going to see a higher scoring game. And I think Wyoming is the side here, Joe. I do have to disagree with you on that, just because I think they're going to be able to tailor a game plan towards Levi Williams' skill set. And Craig Bowles is just a really good coach. I think they bounce back back-to-back road games for Hawaii.
Backup quarterback.
I agree, but he was awesome in the second half versus Nevada, dude. I mean, and he was really, really good. I mean, he brought them back down 22. They got to overtime and lost. But, I mean, you know, that it's hard to go on the road and come back 22.
All right. I'm biased, of course.
It's okay.
Saturday. Hey, we're on this Saturday already. We're moving along. We're 13 minutes in, Dan.
Okay.
Texas, San Antonio, Florida Atlantic. Not a fan of this game at all. Okay. This would be the game I would put a line through, Dan, and I would say, let's see what else is on the board at noon. But if we had to break this one down, the last time the two teams played, which was last year, Florida Atlantic won 40-26. Do you know that Texas San Antonio played 7 games already?
I know.
And what's it called? Florida Atlantic's only been able to play 2 because of COVID, but the running back for UTSA is pretty good. Leads the nation in rushing. His name is Sincere McCormick.
Nate McCormick, yep.
Yep. 123 yards per game.
Yeah. I have broken this game down a lot. I have a PP. So
All right, here we go. Let's start it off.
Okay. So we'll just start it off. Right now, I'm going to get the line right now because it has been moving all day. Right now, it is
so
at 4.
I saw 6.5. Right open now, I see 5. Okay, what do you see?
It's 5 on Bookmaker right now, minus 108. So PP, Florida Atlantic, minus 5. Here's my reasoning. Florida Atlantic's played 2 games, okay? First game, they won a close game home at Charlotte. They came back second half, figured things out. They played very well. Last game, on the road at Marshall, cover the game, it was, you know, on the road. Marshall is, just a fantastic Conference USA team, honestly. And they performed really well. Florida Atlantic's defense is fucking really good. Like, really, really, really good. And UTSA, to me, is still one of the more overrated teams in the country. There are four wins this year. At Texas State, where they won by three, okay? So not exactly a good win. Texas State is 1-6. One of the better 1-6 teams in the country, but still. They have a 14-point win against SF Austin, a 2-point win against Mid-Tennessee State, and a 1-point win against Louisiana Tech. Their three losses, at UAB, at BYU, and at in home versus Army, they don't fare well against the better competition. I will give them a solid win against Louisiana Tech, but still. Florida Atlantic at home. This is going to be a really tough game for UTSA. I love Florida Atlantic in the spot. I think they finally got a few games under them. Their defense is really fucking good. Maybe one of the top three defenses in Conference USA. I think they're going to bury UTSA. So, you know, offensively, they do struggle a little bit, but their defense generates some turnovers. They should get some points here. And UTSA is on their fourth effing quarterback. So, you know, they've gone from Frank Harris to Lowell Narcisse to Josh Adkins to Cam Peters. I mean, they're bouncing all over the place because these guys can't stay healthy. I don't know who's starting. It really doesn't matter to me. I like Florida Atlantic, and I think it's a really, really good spot for them. And I think the line kind of tells you everything you need to know about it as well.
Okay. Okay, Dan's giving it out a PB. All right, here's one that I'm interested in, but I'm not going to play it. All right, Dan, so I'm the guy that personally I bet Syracuse. And it was a little scary early on, and then they put up a touchdown, and then they put up another, and I'm like, whoa, you know? So I, you'd listen, it was just a little personal play for some personal fun, okay? I also had the Patriots over, so for those who care. These are all, like, personal, just having some fun. Syracuse, here's the deal with Wake Forest. It's not Hartman that's doing it for Wake Forest. He's only had three touchdowns in I don't know, last five games or so. He doesn't turn the football over. He has thrown for 400 yards a game. It's their running back. The kid's all over the place right now. Kenneth Walker is his name. Now, I don't know if Syracuse can stop the run. I don't know.
But they're bad against the run.
So that's what it's going to come down to here. The last meeting, Syracuse won 39-30, and if you remember the one before that, it was a wild game. I think it was like went way over the total, like 64-49 or something. So normally off the bat, I look at Wake Forest and I say, yeah, but because there's some things here that, you know, I'm a little timid to take Wake Forest. So I'm laying off this one.
I'm not taking anything either. I do think that Wake is probably ultimately the right side. They're going into the bye next week, so they can kind of focus on Syracuse before having the prep for UNC. Syracuse is coming off a game where they probably focused a large majority of their season, at least the last 3 weeks, prepping for Clemson. And as you said, it was probably a really good play to take Clemson last week, and Syracuse last week, Joe. So I think that was a good play. I would have felt really stupid had I added back Syracuse, but the trend said it. You said it. You know, I did not play it, obviously.
Oh, I would have felt like an idiot if I, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do think Wake is the right side. I think you're underplaying how good Hartman has been in the last three games. He was sensational against Virginia Tech last week. However, they're coming off a potential letdown spot off Virginia Tech. And so, you know, this is not a game I'm going to back Wake Forest. I'm not going to bet the game. I think there's going to be a lot of people betting the under on this one. And I don't agree with that. The total right now is sitting at 59. And it's that weird 59 number. We'll see. I think that this is a Wake Forest and overtime game, but you certainly won't see me putting my money on it. I just do think that the Wake Forest spread of 11.5 it's a very similar spread to what we saw with Northwestern last week. It's almost the same kind of spot too. So it is an interesting play.
Iowa State, Kansas. Last year, Kansas hung around with Iowa State. Iowa State covered. but didn't win. They missed two field goals. They had some issues. I blame the kickers. And it looks like Jalen Daniels will be the quarterback for Kansas. They stink, Kansas. I don't want to waste too much time on this game. But for some reason, Kansas and Iowa State play tough. The number's 28 here. I wonder if Iowa State doesn't care after their loss last week.
I mean, the one thing I will say is that, you know, Kansas got their shit kicked in last week. I mean, they got ruined by Kansas State. It was really bad on special teams. I watched a little bit of that game. This is the best Iowa State team that Matt Campbell's ever had. And so that 28 in the hook. If you can find a 28, if you want to bet Iowa State, it must be a 28. If you want to bet Kansas, it's got to be a 28 in the hook. I have no interest in betting this game. None. I expect Kansas to score a touchdown or two. And I really don't know what to expect of the Iowa State offense. This is not a game that they're going to care too much about. I don't know how invested you are. Maybe you look at first half if you really want Iowa State. But again, this is the best Iowa State team under Matt Campbell. Brock Purdy has been fucking fantastic this year. Breece Hall, monster last week against Oklahoma State. I know they didn't win, but still, he had a hell of a touchdown run. I always say it's a really good team, man.
Tulane and Temple. I can't figure out Tulane. They give up like a billion yards last week to UCF.
But covered. Didn't they cover? No, who covered last week?
It was 51-34. No.
Okay, yeah. So no, they did not cover.
No, they didn't. I don't know Temple. It's weird. Russo's had 3 interceptions and 9 touchdowns. 6 interceptions, 9 touchdowns.
He's out this week, by the way.
Really?
I believe so. I'll double check that, but I saw earlier today.
Yeah, could be limited. He got a shoulder injury. Said, as the coach said, that he's a tough kid. He had an MRI. They said he's hopeful to start, so that could be.
It sounds like he's out. So I'm not going to pray. He did not practice again today. He's a game time decision Saturday. They are leaning towards not playing him and saving him for next week against SMU. But again, if you want to side on this one, you probably need to wait till Saturday to find out if Russo's playing.
So what's weird is I didn't, before I even look at the line, I was leaning Tulane. Tulane's 4-point favorite.
Yep.
Huh.
I don't know what to think about this one, Joe. Temple played Memphis tough last week. They covered. I didn't think that that Memphis was really paying attention to Temple. I think they were kind of looking ahead to this week, so I thought it was a good spot to maybe back Temple last week. But this week, they got to look ahead on a short week, by the way. SMU, I think, is a Wednesday game next week. Like that, that's a real short week. And, you know, Tulane has ECU the week afterwards. Not like a big look-ahead spot, so nothing major there. I think this is Tulane or nothing, but I'm certainly not going to lay my money on Tulane. They've been really bad the past 3 weeks. It's an unbettable spot on Tulane, which is why I absolutely won't bet this. And by the way, apologies. This is just my voice. I know it's scratchy and itchy. It sounds like Scott Farrell, so. Sorry.
Okay. I was told Temple's second half has been hot. So we'll see.
Nice.
All right. Coastal Carolina.
The Chanticleers.
My team. They're on notice, Dan.
Oh, boy.
They're ranked. They're 5-0. Fred Payton filled in last week. Looks like he's going to be a quarterback again this week. I like the defense of Coastal Carolina. I do. I think their defense is very good. Georgia State, your team held off Troy.
They should have won by more, but they held them off. Win's a win.
Georgia State has also beat a ranked team already this year in Louisiana Lafayette. The Panthers have scored 30 points in every single game. Cornelius Brown is second in total offense in the Sun Belt. I'm not sure if this is a good spot for my Chanticleers.
I don't love it. I would bow out of backing Coastal this week. Not saying I'm backing Georgia State, because I'm not.
I feel the same way.
Georgia State's offense. Cornelius Brown is going to make mistakes. He's a freshman. He made a couple, two mistakes in a row.
He hangs balls in the air. Like, from what I've watched, he's a hanger, like a real hanger.
He is, and he's prone to fumbles, too.
And Preston's not great, but he can move a little bit.
Yep.
He forces him. He's not a great passer either. So there's no good passers here.
No, but Peyton can hit. Peyton can hit the long ball. Okay, Peyton can. He can throw it deep. He can hit the long ball. I thought that he was pretty solid last week versus Georgia Southern. That's a good defense, and you know, they coming in not knowing who your quarterback was going to be. I really think that Peyton did a really good job filling in, but I think the second week on the road against a good, in my opinion, a good defensive team. I know they gave up 34 last week, but you really need to take away 14 of that because there was a pick six and a fumble return for a touchdown. You know, so that's 20 points, and they allowed a late score to Troy. I mean, really, the defense was really solid for Georgia State. I was impressed. This is one I think you just got to stay away of. I know everyone's going to want to back Coastal again. I get it. I really do. I'm looking for a defensive battle between these teams. And the total opened at 65. It's down to fucking 59.5 now. So that kind of sucks if you wanted to take it under, which is probably the initial direction I would have leaned in this one. But you're probably taking a real bad number at that point. I think this is a game, unfortunately, you just got to stay away from due to the amount of movement on it, unless you really like a side.
I'm laying off my Chanticleers this week. They come to snuff the rooster, but here comes the rooster.
I'm rooting for them, though. I am. I want them to go.
That's like my Cinderella, you know.
Yep.
That's the team I'm every week. You know, like if they can get I don't know, top 15. Oof. Memphis, Cincinnati, dude. Cincinnati was good.
They were.
Cincinnati was good. I'm going to tell you this right now. 6.5 against Memphis, too many points. Too many.
So,
but the only thing is to me is this defense for real on back to back weeks, and they're at home. Woof. And dude, Memphis whipped that ass, beat them last year, actually. So I was going to say whip that ass. But they did beat them last year.
They did. They're coming off a win against SMU 42-13. The score was not as bad as the score is not representative of that game. SMU was much more competitive. They didn't score. They didn't get in the end zone. Cincinnati played the bend don't break, and they definitely did not break. I'll give them credit. Desmond Ridder was really, really good last week. I definitely underestimated, how good they were. But this is a spot. This is a letdown spot, and this is the game that Memphis, probably overlooks Temple for. You know, they have USF next week. It's not like they need a prep for a big game. And since he has to worry about Houston and Clayton, too. So I think if you're looking to back a road team, Memphis is in a really good spot. If I can get a 7 or 7.5, I might come back. I'll come back to this one on Saturday. This is one I'm circling. I'm doing the lift shot circle, but I'm not going to PP it just yet.
So far, I like Memphis, but we'll they always have those payback games, and that could be one of them.
I see. Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati probably remembers that Memphis whipped that ass last year, though. So,
a couple of Big Ten games. Purdue at Illinois, Dan.
Yeah, told you.
Illinois at home? Oh, God.
Illinois fucking sucks again, huh?
You know what, though? I've never seen the team play such bad defense in my life.
Zero offensive points. Fuck the defense. No offensive points generated. They returned a fumble for a touchdown. That was their 7 points.
So Illinois won this game 24-6 a year ago. And was it Moore comes back this week and Jeff Brown? Rondell Moore?
Yep. I mean, we don't know the actual status on Rondale Moore. It sounds like he's hopeful to return this week. I'm going to take that as we don't know. Jeff Brohm said today that he will provide an update on Rondale Moore tomorrow. So if you want to bet this game, at least wait until the update on Rondale Moore, because he is the Boilermakers playmaker. He is the engine for that team, in my opinion. Joe, just looking at the schedule, this is not the best of spots for Purdue. They have on the road this week versus Illinois, on the road next week versus Wisconsin. So double road games, back-to-back roadies in a Power 5 conference, and they're looking ahead to Wisconsin next week. Illinois, they're home versus Minnesota next week, so are they looking ahead a little bit? Maybe. But I think they're still going to be focused mostly on Purdue. They were terrible last week. I'm certainly not going to tell you to back Illinois. I'm just telling you it's a bad spot for Purdue. I cannot do it. I just can't do it.
Michigan, Michigan State. Michigan won this game 44-10 last year. Michigan State was a debacle last week. Joe Wilson, Hassan Haskins, Zach Charbonnet. They were good. They were all good. I love the word recency. 24 seems a lot here, but man, they were bad. Like, I don't know, man. Fisco's down to 24, man. I don't know.
I mean, listen,
I'm not backing Michigan State. There's no way. But I would love to watch a Michigan defense continue to swarm that team and roll up points and look like a possible top 10 team. You know, like, this is a spot where you play your rival, you shut them down. Wilson goes off, he starts going to the Heisman conversation. You know what I mean? Like, I could just see a smackdown in this game.
So I'm going to go off this. The projected look ahead line for this game, Joe. There was no actual look ahead because the Big Ten conference had come out and you know, books hadn't done the look ahead lines for Big Ten, yada, yada, yada. However, the projected look ahead line was around that minus 10 number. That has jumped over two touchdowns to 24.5. I know how bad Michigan State was last week. They were putrid. But don't you think that Michigan State team was overlooking the Michigan? Again, I'm not telling you they're going to win. Michigan, coming off a massive win at Minnesota in a letdown spot, looking ahead to Indiana next week, who just won at Penn State. Like, I don't know. This is not really a great spot for Michigan. And Michigan State probably looked ahead. To me, this is a Michigan State or nothing play. Oh, you need – yeah, listen, it's a swallow your balls special. You got to fucking ride it out. I'm not betting it. This is one I may return to on Saturday. It's just – it's a two-score jump. And you had it's a perfect spot to take Michigan State. Undervalued, coming off a loss where they were looking ahead. Michigan coming off a loss and letdown spot looking ahead. Like, it is almost the perfect spot to take Michigan State. I'm not going to. Not going to do it yet. But if this is 24.5, 25 come Saturday, we'll discuss. We'll discuss. It's a swallow your balls, close your eyes special.
Dan, what do you think about Georgia at Kentucky?
Terry Wilson is out Saturday for Kentucky.
Sucks. They lost last year. Got shut out last year without him, too.
Yeah, the biggest problem with Terry Wilson is the guy just cannot stay healthy.
But he can game manage. He's good. He's a good quarterback. It's unfortunate. He's good.
I agree. I think that he definitely is good. Georgia has had a couple weeks to prep for this game. Now, how much prep work has gone into this game? Are they focusing on Kentucky, or are they looking then next week to Florida? Because that's a huge fucking game for them. And so what I'm going to tell you is that, you know, Georgia's probably in their couple weeks off, has really done more prep work for Florida instead of Kentucky, as they probably should have. Kentucky's been focused on this game. They probably looked at it. Missouri last week lost that game. I told you I did not want to back Kentucky after backing them against Tennessee. I still think the defense is really good and it's legit, but hey, goodness, there's no Terry Wilson. I know the whole world, the entire planet is going to be on Georgia this week. I know that. I get that. I'm aware of that. I think this is going to be a defensive game where Georgia scores a few touchdowns and Kentucky puts up very little offense. And if I'm doing anything, I'm taking the under here. Here's the problem. Oh, under open at 47. It's down to 42.5. The Sharps were ahead, you know, are ahead of the podcast. They're ahead of that move. So, you know, unfortunately, I think that you're taking a real bad number if, you know, you end up taking the under here, which is why I'm going to stave off the game. But I think that the under is the play in this one and not a side. It would not shock me if Georgia wins by exactly 17, because this would be a devastating loss for the books. Really would. Georgia's going to Kentucky is going to be one of the books' biggest needs this week, in my opinion.
I think this, like, Georgia's lost to Alabama, week off, and now need to get right. A trip to Kentucky is exactly what they need. You know, it's like a without the quarterback.
Again, but you're looking ahead to Florida. So that week off, who are you prepping for? You're prepping for Florida, who, if you win that game against Florida, you win the SEC East most likely, unless you, you know, collapse in Missouri. Or are you focusing on Kentucky, who, without their starting quarterback, you might be able to beat with your eyes closed? So I think on your 2 weeks off or your bye week, I think you're prepping for Florida. I don't think you're looking too much into Kentucky. And I think you're prepping for Florida, the bye week, and then going into Kentucky this week and maybe doing a little prep work on Kentucky, you know, later in the week. But I think Georgia's going to roll out of bed and try and beat this team, honestly.
Kansas State, West Virginia. We had a guy call into our show last week, mentioned that West Virginia under, that thing went over.
Way over.
It was a weird game, too, back and forth. Kansas State put up some points. Dude, Kansas State's good. They're good. They go on the road, though. We know how it is in Morgantown. We know right now that West Virginia's 3-0 at home. Excuse me, West Virginia won this matchup 24-20 a year ago. What did I see this week on this game? What was it? Ugh. Well, that loss to Texas Tech wasn't great for West Virginia. Like, you actually saw the Texas Tech team that, like, people thought. But I watched a little of that Kansas State game. I was going back and forth between that and the Oklahoma game. They were good. Like, good offense, good defense, good special teams. Like, they're a complete team. They're underdogs on the road. I like it.
Here's the problem. This is one of those spots, Joe, where remember Texas went into TCU a couple years ago, and I said, don't take Texas. I said, don't do it. This feels like the same type of spot, trip, whatever. Kansas State, next week, home versus Oklahoma State, the week after, on the road versus Iowa State. So, you know, this is a look-ahead spot. This is a look-ahead to look-ahead spots. This team has ripped off 4 wins in a row. They looked fantastic versus Kansas. Our special teams especially was fantastic. Kansas just doesn't have any talent, and they still got 14 points against them, though. West Virginia at home defensively coming off a loss. You know, this is an important game to them. We talked about last week how they might be looking at the Kansas State. They were, in my opinion. You shouldn't lose to Texas Tech. I mean, that team is not as bad as the record says, but they're not great. This spread is super fucking weird, Joe. West Virginia -3.5.
You know, I know.
It's the same spot. This is a West Virginia or nothing. You cannot play Kansas State in the spot. I feel like you'll get burned. I can feel it coming. And I feel like this is a spot people are going to get burned on K-State. It's going to be a very heavy public side. People are going to want to be all over K-State this week. This is like the spread of the week that, like, this is the fishy one, the stinky one that no one, like, wants to, you know, it smells bad. This is it. This is the one I think probably West Virginia finds a way to win by a touchdown. But I can't do it. I can't back them. Kansas State has looked so good the last 4 games.
Nice. I like Kansas State. I got to be talked out of it. We'll circle it. We'll discuss it on Saturday. Boston College, Clemson. Clemson, the darlings. Only 31-point favorites this week.
Yep.
BC's 42. BC's not bad. I mean, let's face it. They lost 59-7 last year. It was a debacle. Oof. 31, huh?
Yeah, I mean, no, Clemson has Notre Dame next week. They do. Was it you who told me that people in BC are calling to beat Clemson this week?
No, we heard it. Someone talking about it this morning.
Okay.
It wasn't us.
No, right. If you think BC is beating Clemson, man, good fucking luck on the road. I mean, come on. Well, let's try and be a little serious here. But Clemson is looking ahead to Notre Dame. There's no doubt about it, Joe. That is the biggest game on their schedule. And they have back-to-back roadies. They have Notre Dame and Florida State. It's, you know, they do get a week in between, actually. So I guess, never mind, not back-to-back. But this is BC or nothing to me. Again, BC coming off a nice win versus Georgia Tech. They played really well last week. There are a lot of points in that game. This is it. I think you'll see a letdown from BC maybe next week at Syracuse. But to me, this is it, baby. Like this, if you're looking for a spot to fade Clemson again, who, you know, outside of those Miami and those Georgia Tech games, they're 2-4 against the spread. They have not been a cover machine this year. So I don't know. BC, but the spread is a lot. It's high. 31 is a lot. So that makes you want to take Clemson at the same time. It's me. Want to take Clemson when I see those higher spreads. I'm not going to touch this one. I'm not going to do it, Joe. The total in this one, by the way, 61. Feels low, which means you're probably going to see a defensive battle. You're probably going to see some defense from, you know, one of these teams. But no, I do not think that BC is going to beat Clemson, and I think that is silly. Come on, guys.
I like the over.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, if I was going to lean aside on this one, like, Clemson puts up 48, 51. BC puts up 17.
I could just kind of see this as a replica of, like, the Virginia Tech Clemson game. Like, it's 40-14. You know what I mean? It doesn't go over. Clemson beats them down by enough, but they don't cover. BC gets a touchdown, a late touchdown. Bailey's finally running better for them in the running back spot. You know, they're still getting enough at the quarterback spot. I mean, they're 4-2. They're not terrible. And Djurkovic has been, you know, pretty good for them. It really was good last week. I don't know. I think they'll be able to score a little bit on Clemson, but, you know, Clemson at the same time, how, you know, what is the offensive outburst going to be there? They're not paying attention to this game.
Yeah, Dan, I just saw some crazy news. I don't want to hijack our program or anything, but I just saw that Travis Roy, former Boston University player, died today.
Whoa.
Came out from the Travis Roy Foundation, for those who remember years ago, 11 seconds into his first shift. He was paralyzed, hit into the boards, and you know, broke his vertebrae and quadriplegic. And, you know, obviously the Travis Roy Foundation has been a huge, huge thing here in the community, but
he's kind of a legend-ish guy.
Sports. You know, this highly recruited kid on his first shift. But yeah, that just came out on social media, and that's sad news. That is very sad, and more details coming out on that one. But for those who are hockey fans or human in general, that's a very, very, very sad moment. But all right, sorry for the buzzkill, everybody.
Jeez.
In transition, we will be going over the Thursday night football games in just a little bit. We got two college games tonight, and then the NFL game. One's a nightcap. Just wanted to All right, let's move on. 2 o'clock games.
Let's do the 2 o'clock and the 2-3 o'clocks, and then let's wrap around with Thursday.
UCF Houston. We know what UCF is, Dan. They're a team that puts up points, can't play defense. They have trouble hanging on the leads. I think Houston is uber talented. What I mean by talented is individual talent. They have it. They won last week. We know about the loss that they had to BYU, which is, I think if you look at it in the long run, it was a good loss. I mean, good team, right?
Yeah, they had to win. It was a collapse, I mean.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, they could have won that game easily, but on paper, BYU is not going to look like a bad loss. Central Florida going to Houston. They're going to now UCF won this game a year ago, 44-29. Houston makes a ton of mistakes. We know what UCF can do again. Dylan Gabriel's been very good. Toon versus Gabriel, who's got the better defense? The thing is, Houston's penalties, man. Like, that's the one thing that, to me, just not good. So when I look at the spread here, Houston getting 3.5. It's already moved to 2.5.
Yeah, I mean, it opened at, I'm seeing it opened at 3. It's down to 2.5. You're still seeing the majority of tickets on UCF. The money is pretty much even 50-50. So it's probably telling you a little sharp money is coming in on Houston. This is a game I'm going to kind of repeat it again. Houston is +3 -116 right now on Bookmaker. So you can, if you want the 3, you can get, you have to pay the extra 8 cents there to get it. I really like Houston in this game. I do, but the look ahead to Cincinnati next week on the road scares me. Otherwise, I'm probably PPing this one. I think that Houston is the more talented team. Defensively, they can actually get stops. And UCF, we haven't seen that. Now, you know, Houston has their offensive issues from time to time, but Clayton Toon has been really good. You know, that first half against BYU, he was really, really good. And the second half, they collapsed, and, you know, I really don't understand what happened there. Maybe BYU just fucking rolled them. I didn't really watch the second half in entirety. I rewatched it, but again, it's not the same as watching it live still. And it just felt like they just kind of collapsed on themselves. They rebounded with a nice win at Navy, but this is a game I can't back UCF in the spot. I can't do it.
That's a game I'm going to watch this game, man, because, like, it's going to be entertaining on an offensive point of view, right?
Houston is so talented, dude. Like, they really might make a run in the American this year. They might. It's possible. So, yeah, I think this is a game where if Houston is looking ahead potentially to next week, and they probably aren't because it's UCF, but if this is not even the slightest tick a look at, I'm probably back at Houston here. Maybe Saturday, but I can't do it. By the way, the total on that one, Joe, 82.5. Holy hell.
I'd probably go over, but that's me being crazy.
There's probably 100 points in this game, but
Tell me about Troy, Arkansas State. I mean, obviously, we've seen Arkansas State. We know they could put up points. They covered. No, they lost to Appalachian State. They could put up points. They got held in check by Appalachian State. Troy, your boys held hard last week. Interesting game here. Troy, this is like one of those like good battles in that division there.
Yeah. This is a spot. This to me is, this is a PB for me. This is a bounce back spot to me. For Arkansas. I mean, sorry for Arkansas State. They should absolutely kill Troy. I mean, Troy was lucky to be in the game last week. I think their 3 wins have been overrated. They crushed Middle Tennessee State, and they beat Texas State soundly. They beat Eastern Kentucky by 2, and then they lost last week to Georgia State. I think that this is a game where Arkansas State, it's a must win. It really is a must win for them. So PP, Arkansas State -2.5. This is not what I had planned on PPing coming into the podcast, but I had it circled. I just love this spot so much for Arkansas State. I think they're going to get it done, and I think they're going to get it done going away. I would not be shocked if they just decimated Troy this week. I can also see it being a game. I just think the Arkansas State is the better of the two teams. They're at home. They should get this done against Troy.
I think Troy stinks, and Arkansas State at home should win this game by a touchdown or more.
Agreed. Yep.
Based off what we've seen, but again, they got to play the games, right? But yeah, Dan, I agree with you on this one. I'm not going to double it or anything like that, but this should be a game that Arkansas State wins at home. I don't like the 4 number. I like 2.5 and 3.
Yeah, I mean, it opened at 4 and it set 2.5 to 3. I don't understand why everyone loves Troy this week. Is it because Arkansas State laid an egg last week for App State? App State hadn't played in a fucking month. We talked about how that was such a good spot for App State coming off this. What App State team do we expect to see? That everything in the lines pointed to just a dominating performance. Arkansas State may not be as good as they were last year, but the Sun Belt is fucking good, dude. Like the Sun Belt is a better conference than the Big 12 right now. They are 3-0 against the Big 12, straight up. There's 3-4 teams in the Big 12, and after that, you're looking at a bunch of middling teams. The Sun Belt is better than Big 12 right now. You cannot tell me about it. So I'm taking Troy. I'm sorry, I'm taking Arc State. Here's the deal with Troy. 67% of the tickets on Troy, 86% of the fucking money on Troy, too. Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Game I don't care about, but has to be discussed. Rice, Southern Miss. Southern Miss is favored. They don't have another coach. Like, how many more are they going to lose? I didn't see much of Rice last week. All I can tell you in this one, Dan, is the over is 5-0 in the last 5 meetings between these two teams. And the over under is 59. Ooh, I don't know. I don't know about that one between. So I'm out on side. Nope, out on this game.
Listen, I know that everyone's going to back Rice in the coaching angle. And, oh, they lost their coach. Rice lost to Mid-Tennessee State at home last week. Like, let's not forget that they lost that. But brutal. Like, just gross, brutal, not good. I'm not a big fan of Rice and kind of what they have to offer this year. I think I'm certainly not fucking backing Southern Miss, but I think if you're going to take a side, if you really, really, really want a fucking side in this one, you got to take, Southern Miss. I think the talent would win out in this one. I do. And to me, it's just I'm not backing Rice. I don't care. Rice on the road. This is a gross game. Just ignore it.
All right. Indiana Rutgers. I remember I bet this game last year. Indiana won 35-0.
Before we hit the 3:30 slate, can we circle back to the Thursday night games? I know it goes off at 7:30, and if we don't get to it now, we'll miss it. We'll be late. So let's hit the two Thursday night games. We'll take a break and we'll start off at 3:30. Sound good?
Okay.
All right. I know. All right. Thursday night. I'll set it up for you, Joey. I'll set it up for you. Thursday night. South Alabama travels to Statesboro, takes on the triple option, Shai Wertz and Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern right now, 3.5 on the spread. It is moved. It's been bouncing back and forth between 3.5 and 3 all night. Total in this one, Joe, 52. There's going to be a lot of people on the under tonight, I expect. There's probably going to be some split action here. South Alabama, I talked them up all year. They're a physical team. They're going to the two quarterback system now. They're kind of splitting time between Lovatich and Trotter, which I don't love. I think they've gotten worse since they've done that. But Georgia Southern coming off the 14-point loss to Coastal Carolina last week, Joe. What are you expecting in this one? Because
I didn't think they were that great. I just didn't think Georgia Southern was all that great, but I've already backed Southern Alabama in a spot this year against UAB. Now, granted, it's UAB. I don't know. Kind of lean over here. off the bat, kind of lean Southern Alabama, but know who got their quarterback got hurt? Georgia Southern. Is he playing?
I will take a look at that for you. Actually, I have not seen it.
That's what happened in that Coastal Carolina game. Was basically it was both backup quarterbacks, and Preston was the one that ended up winning the day, and then the special teams came over.
Let's see. I mean, he's not inactive tonight. There's three players inactive, looks like, for Georgia Southern for COVID reasons. But I have not seen an update. Let's see. He had cramps last week, Joe, and he returned to the game. So he cramped up. So he is playing tonight, yes. That's why I've not seen an update on him.
All right. So the line opened at 50. It's now at 52. Short week, dude. Now,
it's a triple option on a short week.
Yeah, I'm leaning over.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that angle. The look at it in this spot, Joe, originally was 6.5. It is now at 3.5. So you're getting a field goal's worth of value, whatever you want to put. At this point, I actually see it open at 6. On a Chris bookmaker, aka for those who don't know, it basically has moved down since. So there definitely has been some movement towards the South Alabama side, in terms of that. The total's gone up, opened at 49.5 or 50, as Joe said. So that's up to 52. So the sharper sides have been the over and Georgia and South Alabama. I really don't know what to expect in this one, Joe. I just think that it's hard to prep for the triple option on a short week, and that is always my concern with backing a team like South Alabama on a short week versus a good defensive team. Georgia Southern is a very good defense, and on a good defensive team in a short week, two-quarterback system, I think that South Alabama has actually kind of regressed a little bit since the beginning of the season. I don't know. This is not a spot I would like to back here. So I'm going to stave off this first game. Totally. I'm not going to touch it.
Oh, boo.
I know. I got something for you the second game. How about that?
Boo.
I know. Sorry. Sucks.
I'm trying to give you something, people. I'm trying.
I got something for them in the second college game. So they're not deprived.
Okay. The only thing I'm worried about is I know South Alabama's defense has been good. I know that. And their quarterback, you mentioned the two-quarterback system.
Well, let's also not forget who their opponents have been this year. Southern Miss, Tulane, UAB, who they allowed 42-2. Texas State and Louisiana Monroe. So Louisiana Monroe, probably the worst team, and maybe worst Division I team outside of UMass, right up there. Texas State's 1-6. UAB put up 42 on them and smoked their ass in a game we both liked. Tulane beat them by 3 but didn't cover. And Southern Miss, South Alabama smoked them. They were physical. This is just a game that I want nothing to do with. I don't know. I expect South Alabama's being a little bit overrated.
How did this go from 5.5 to 3.5?
I do think that Georgia Southern is a triple option on a short week. The prep time is hard for that. It is. But, my guess is they're, the sharp guys are taking a look at the, the peripheral stats and seeing, oh, their defense is allowed 21, 27, an outlier in 42, 20, and 14. And, their peripheral stats look pretty good.
I love how people think I'm 30 milligrams deep, Dan. Do they realize I don't do, the only drugs I used to do was marijuana. I haven't smoked marijuana in over a year. Believe that?
Really? That's crazy.
It was your wedding.
I've actually
just... all your fault.
My wedding?
I broke my tooth on the way to your wedding.
Oh, right. I remember that.
And since that day, I haven't been able to.
Fun times. I just broke my tooth.
There's this thing called dry socket. And if anybody's ever had it, you don't want it. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. Yeah, you get dry socket and you come back to me. You come back to me after that. Anyways, so all right, Dan. I like Southern Alabama. I do. I like him at 6.5. I don't like him at 3.5. Do I like the over? The only thing that concerns me is that that team has been pretty good defensively. And you mentioned the schedule. Like, Southern Alabama has been pretty decent this year.
Yeah, but they played crap competition except for UAB, and UAB put up a 42 burger on them.
Hmm. Damn it. I don't know, Dan. What do you think?
I think this is a game that you, unless you have a really strong opinion about something, I think this is a game that's moved to the correct numbers on both sides. And I think that you really probably need to stay off this game unless you got a South Alabama, you know, game there. It's supposed to rain tonight, Joe. You know, so it does favor the triple option. Again, just going to say, if you're gun to my head, I'm going Georgia Southern. I do not feel great about it, and I would not play it. No, I just wouldn't. Okay. I'm not laying my money on it.
My local, 3.5 Georgia Southern, over under 52.
Yep. That is the line right now on Bookmaker. A little bit of juice towards Georgia Southern, and a little bit of juice towards the under.
And the Fresno game.
Oh, here we go.
Has Colorado -3, over under 58.
Do you know who the head coach of Colorado State is, Joe?
Come on. I'm trying to find a famous Adazio line. I don't think we have one, right?
Run the football. Run the football.
We're gonna create a bully. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something he might have said.
Colorado State. Okay, let me go into this one. First off, let me get the things going. PP. Okay. PP, give me Fresno +3. Okay,
Adazio fade opening night.
Yeah, let me start there. Okay, so there's your Thursday night play, all you fucking leeches and motherfuckers. I'm just kidding. I understand why you want to play. So I'm taking Fresno. Here's Steve Adazio is a power run coach with a power run defense. Colorado State is a finesse roster. Now, again, he'll get his type of players in there, and he'll build up that program, and Colorado State will be a power run team in a few years, and that will be good in the Mountain West. Now, right now, their roster sucks, you know, for what Adazio wants to do. And Adazio didn't adapt. And how long fucking was he there in BC? He never adapted. He never threw the ball. They were a power run team. AJ Dillon and defense down your throat. This is the way we're going to do it. Yada, yada, yada. Not anymore. I mean, you know, so to me, Colorado State's best talent is at the wide receiver, the tight end, and the quarterback position. And they're actually without a few of their corners, okay?
Well, I don't even know why they're favored.
I don't either. The game opened as a pick 'em. It's now moved to Colorado State. Here's what I can tell you. The Colorado State thing to me, my assumption is the reason that they're favored is because it's the team that hasn't played yet angle, which, by the way, has been going the other way now. It started off very well, yeah, but the team wasn't playing.
Game two, it's like out of control way better,
yeah,
though.
Right, yeah. So Temple a couple weeks ago lost, and, you know, whatever, all of the Big Ten teams obviously last week. But, yeah, Colorado State, again, I guess you want to take that angle. Fresno State, 5 turnovers last week. I expect them to clean it up at home. They should be better against a team that's going to run the fucking football and is not explosive. To me, this is a Fresno State or nothing play. I absolutely love Fresno. You can get it at 3 almost everywhere. Bookmaker right now is 3 minus 110. Go out there, get it. And, yeah, I'm taking Fresno State tonight. And I like them on the money line, too. They're going to win this game outright.
Colorado State was so bad defensively last year.
And they're not improved. They're not. I don't get the movement towards Colorado State. It looks like the Sharps and the public are both on Colorado State. I don't get it. I mean, there could easily be something I'm fucking missing. I could be dead wrong in this game. You know, the haters will tell me I'm wrong all the time. Probably, you know, not too far off. But I don't get it. I don't get the love for Colorado State.
And don't get me wrong, I'm ignorant because I know how bad they were last year. I don't know why they should be better. They do get Patrick O'Brien back, who's their quarterback, but they lost all their target. Like, I'm just looking at it. Like, I.
Oh, by the way, we have some big breaking news. You need to get in on this. If you're listening to the podcast live, I would go get on this now. It sounds like Trevor Lawrence is out this week for Clemson against Boston College.
Whoa, baby!
So run to your book and go fucking hammer the BC side.
Oh, my God, dude. Dude, BC upset.
I don't want to go that far.
I have watched. I have watched those backups. They're not good.
Yeah, I just missed my my chance to take BC. Unfortunately,
I don't. Dan, I'm scrolling Twitter, and looking for a source. I'm kind of looking. Trevor Lawrence is not going to play this week. Why? Why isn't he playing? Why? Why isn't Trevor Lawrence playing? Hang on. Dabo Sweeney, I'd be surprised if Trevor Lawrence comes back. Trevor Lawrence, Heisman. I wouldn't mind the Patriots getting a guy. Clemson will host my. I'm looking. I don't know, Dan. Did you find this from? I don't know. Whatever. We'll wait. I'll wait. We'll move on. We have picks to give.
I was able to get BC plus 30 and a half.
Okay. Should we do the NFL game now?
Yes.
So I our guy that was in the chat, he's gone. We didn't even give a pick yet. He thought we did. All right, well, let's talk it out. Carolina at home, totals 51.5. We know about the debacle of Atlanta. So let me set it up this way. Carolina covered against a good New Orleans team. Atlanta lost outright to Detroit on the final play of the game.
Yep.
Short week, Thursday football, Carolina's favorite at home, right? The team that covered and is the better record, better team, is favored slightly against Atlanta. You know who Atlanta's on my list, right?
Oh.
Atlanta's on my list of no bet.
Oh, yes. I'm very much aware of that.
So, I mean, I'm willing to, on a Thursday night, look at it. Why is my computer's frozen? I'm going to throw this thing. Anyways, what do you got, Dan? Let me get my stuff going and you go.
Okay, for the NFL game, that's fine. I'll handle this. Sorry, I'm trying to by the way, there's a bunch of news. He was released from some information, some big sharp group that gave out that Trevor Lawrence is out, and that's why it's been taking off the boards everywhere. In case for those who do not know, WGH right now looks like the only book that still has it up. So I would run to your WGH local if you have that and get that. And if you're asking me where the Trevor Lawrence news came out, RAS was the one who put it out, but it looks like it's been confirmed because the books have taken that down. So, yeah, so I would, you know, tread carefully, but I think at worst you could probably buy back. Okay. So going to the NFL game, Falcons, Panthers, listen, we talked about how much of a covering machine Teddy Bridgewater is. And yes, there is zero mainstream sports media on this, and that is because, there are a ton of people who basically, you know, who are sharp groups and everything, they get news. That is their job. It's got to get news and everything. So, you know, kind of everything there. Anyways, moving on to the NFL. We can't do this all day. I just wanted to tell you guys, you know, if you're still there, it's not my information. RAS is the sharp group that put it on the RAS chat. And so that is why you see the dramatic movement. You should be able to take Clemson a lower number if you want to try and middle it, assuming that he's out. Okay.
The Panthers Falcons game tonight. We talked about Teddy Bridgewater this morning, Joe. We talked about how good Carolina is on, you know, how good Carolina and Teddy Bridgewater have been against the spread. And Teddy Bridgewater just mostly, I think you're talking about 30 and 11, something like that. Anyways, Carolina.
Yeah, I retweeted it.
Yeah. Okay. So Carolina.
I got it here somewhere.
Okay. That's fine. You use your shit back up.
Teddy Bridgewater, all game 32 and 10, 76%. He is against the spread in his career.
Nice. Okay.
And when the line moves against him, he's 16 and 4.
Oh, okay. All right. So 16 and 4 again, you know, against the spread. I don't really care about that, in my opinion. What I'll say this is that, you know, Atlanta is 1-6. They're an underrated 1-6. I know that they have somehow blown games to the Dallas Cowboys, who are horrendous, and they blew it last week against Detroit. Now, they should have won that game. Gurley's arm, in my opinion, was down. I'm biased, openly biased, because I have a Detroit unders win future, as you listen to the NFL season podcast. So I am biased, totally biased, but I thought Gurley was down. I didn't think it was a touchdown. Nonetheless, if it isn't a touchdown, Atlanta wins that game. They gave it up. They should have figured out a fucking way to stop Stafford and the Lions. But Atlanta is a underrated 1-6, which is kind of a crazy thing to say. They have two losses that should probably be wins. They're probably more of a 500-ish team than a 1-6 team. It's 2-5, 2-5, 3-4, whatever. I think Carolina is roughly the same type of team as they are. Without McCaffrey, they were really good with Mike Davis the first few weeks. Now, they have regressed a little bit. They covered against New Orleans, who we kind of talked about on the podcast last week. I thought that was a good play. But just in general, I think Carolina is still slightly overrated to the public, and I think they're a slightly overrated team. The total tonight's down is at 52, Joe. If Atlanta is smart, they can run the ball and dominate the clock. That's what I think they probably need to, should do. Now, I will say, Julio Jones's receiving yards prop tonight, pretty high. I've seen it anywhere between 72 and 78 and a half yards. It actually ticked up to 79 on a few locals here. So it does feel like, you know, they're expecting Julio to go off and get some yards there. Everyone seems to be on the DJ Moore over prop, so maybe he struggles tonight because everyone loves him and everyone in the world's on that. I don't really know what to expect in terms of this game. I don't really have a great feel for it. Here's what I'll tell you. I'm not backing Carolina. I'm not backing the over. And I think I'm just going to stave off it. So I think that's as simple as it for me.
Boo! Boo!
Oh, boo you. I gave out a pick on Thursday. How about you give out a pick on Thursday? Huh?
I'm working on it.
I'm just kidding.
if my computer will come back to life.
I'm just fucking with you.
Matt Ryan, dude. I can't back that prick.
Listen, I get it. I fucking do. I mean, they're choking. They're choking dogs. With the coach, without the coach, it doesn't matter. They're choking dogs. Carolina, Matt Rhule, I think we can say that Matt Rhule is a pretty good coach, right?
Dude, I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
I am too. I mean, I expect Carolina to be a 5-6 win team, and they're probably going to be a 7-8 win team.
How do you feel about the Thursday night favorite and the under? Can Atlanta – I mean, Atlanta back-to-back unders, you know? It's weird, but I see 28-21 Carolina with, like, Atlanta trying to tie the game at the end. Or maybe they do, and like it comes, you know, comes down to a final play or overtime. I don't know. I smell 28-21, and then something happening. You know, yeah. I don't know. Well, I'm like looking at my crystal ball. I'm Miss Cleo calling me now for the ninth pick.
I mean,
do I go square as hell and just take, you know, Carolina money line? I mean, I don't know. Like, it's weird to me. I fucking Falcons block. I hate them.
Yeah, I'm not going to recommend this because you know how much I don't love teasers. But I will say the Atlanta plus 1.5 teased up to plus 7.5 is not a terrible angle.
Fuck it, I'm not fading Teddy. You know what? Let's do it. Hang on. Let me give you the accurate line here.
Okay.
It's from the local, so don't give me any bullshit on a line.
I have a line for you if you want it.
I'm going to give you my local bullshit.
Okay, that's fine.
This is the one that I'm betting. You know?
I will tell you, the sharp action tonight is absolutely on Atlanta.
Ready, Dan?
Yep.
Ready for this?
Yep.
Carolina Panthers money line minus 125.
There you go. So you got a PP on the NFL game, a PP on the college game.
So here's the deal. I can take the 1.5, right? I can take the 1.5. I'll probably still win. I just don't have a problem paying $15 more.
That's fair. I mean, I think long term, that is not the right approach, but I understand.
We just saw them lose by a point last week.
Agreed. I'm fucking with
Atlanta. I'm sorry.
As I said, long term, I don't think it's the right approach, but I think I understand why you want to do that this week. Kind of everything. So
you know what, Dan? Fuck it.
I got it. Listen.
I'll go 1.5. I'll go minus 125. Minus 125 is my pick.
Let's just keep it there. Okay. All right. There you go. So you have two.
Would I bet it at minus 1.5? Yes.
Yes. So you have two PPs tonight. I gave out Fresno. Joe is on the Carolina Panthers money line. Here's the deal.
You can buy it to minus one for 120. Why not just pay the extra $5 to get them just to win outright?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not taking any of the sides. By the way, the Clemson line is now down everywhere except for DraftKings. So that is it. Looks like the Clemson line is down out. So this looks like legitimate news coming out of RAS and a few other people now.
I put a call out to the masses.
There you go. Okay, so it does appear that there is some news out there kind of going on. So if you listen to this podcast and Trevor Lawrence is out, bully for you. You got a very nice line.
Everybody's in on that, Dan.
That's fine. Listen, RAS is a sharp group. There's a chat about it. They operate on information. I would say the info is probably pretty good. There you go.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I think a lot of people are going to be on the Falcons tonight.
I think you're going to see some pretty good split action.
I just like my guy Teddy.
I do understand that. I certainly understand why you say that. I do. I'm not going to argue with that. By the way, if you want BC, they're 27.5 on Ace. So if you still want try and get 28, you can buy it up to 28 there. If you want to do that on Ace, up to you. You know, it's a free country. Just putting that out there.
And if let's just say like things aren't looking good. I think it's gonna be a close game. I think it's gonna be a close one tonight, Dan.
All right, let's get off. I'm kind of done with the NFL and the Thursday night games. Let's go back to college. Okay,
we had Indiana and Rutgers last year. Yeah, I bet this game.
We got to take a quick break. So after this game,
hey, we got to take a quick break here.
After this game, how about that? Sound good?
We can take a quick break now.
No, it's fine. You already introduced the game. What's this role?
Indiana Rutgers. Rutgers won last week. They're 11-point favorites. They opened to 13. It's now down to 11. We saw Mr. Penix play very well last week. We know what the Hoosiers can do. Rutgers, I could believe whatever happened to them last week. I don't know. Was it Chiano Ball? Is that what it is? I don't know. 10 transfers. They all made impacts. dude, they got like a bunch of like former guys from like Michigan and shit on their team.
Yeah, I mean they got a ton of transfers. I still don't think the Rutgers is going to be that good. I think that they got a nice spot in the Big Ten versus Michigan State, who's looking ahead to Michigan. I think they got a really nice spot. I think people are going to overrate them. Now, they're definitely not going to be as bad as they were last year, and Shiano's a better coach, and he'll get the program kind of going right and everything. But Indiana, they got to look ahead to Michigan next week. So it's not exactly a great spot to back them either. Rutgers has Ohio State, so I don't want to back them. They're on the road at Ohio State next week. I don't know how much they're really prepping for Indiana despite their win. Maybe they can't afford to kind of overlook Indiana. Probably not, because it's fucking Rutgers. Indiana, they're probably going to overlook Rutgers in this spot. You know, on the road in Piscataway, I don't know. This is a game that I'm going to completely ignore. No interest in it.
Okay, bud.
And by the way, from a DM, I will not name the source, but it sounds like somebody close to Trevor, from somebody close to Clemson, Lawrence has COVID. That is not confirmed, but that is what I'm hearing now.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, correct.
All these dickheads out there, you know what they're going to say. Here's the deal. Being in gambling, there's all these groups, and people share shit. So there might be information out there, but we're just discussing it on a podcast. No credibility to it or anything like that. It's just floating it out there, and then boom. I mean, people say that stuff on Gilmore's house is on the thing, and then boom, you find out it really is. You know, it's just that shit kind of happens. So allegedly. So let's see. Okay. LSU Auburn. Auburn again is 2.5. How many weeks are they gonna be 2.5, Dan? LSU look better. Over under 65. I'm trying to make it a song. LSU Auburn. Ooh, what are we thinking here? Auburn at home. 2.5-point dogs. How you feeling?
After this, we got to take a break, by the way.
I forgot about
that. It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. I really don't know what to do with this one, Joe. I don't really have a great feel for this one. Auburn is the luckiest fucking team in the SEC. They got lucky again with the refs last week. This team may legitimately be like a legit 0-5. Like legit, they might be an 0-5 team. They're 3-2. I cannot believe that they're 3-2. They at best maybe 1-4. You can't bet that. LSU finally demolished in South Carolina. We talked about last week how there was a lot of sharp money on the LSU money line and the spread and everything. They won that game. I don't really know where to go with this one, Joe. I don't have a good feel for this one. The way I'm looking at it, and just this is again just the way I'm looking at it, I have no idea what to fucking expect from either of these teams. None whatsoever. It doesn't sound like Miles Brennan is going to play for LSU, so that's going to be a problem there. Auburn again, are the refs actually going to help Auburn against LSU? Can't imagine that that's the case. So
I'm still surprised Auburn won last week.
By the way, it sounds like Patrick O'Brien is not starting for Colorado State tonight. It's Todd Santillo who was starting for Colorado State. So
what happened there?
Yeah, anyway, so I am
Joe fucked up tonight. Okay, all right, we'll find out what happens.
I have no idea. Nonetheless, This is a game I want nothing to do with, Joe. This is a game you can enjoy, watch.
I saw something.
What?
Nothing credible. Word on the street is Trevor Lawrence out for Saturday. Okay, we got to keep our eyes on this, Dan. You might have uncovered something.
I did not uncover it. If you guys are in the fucking
Dan Lipschitz of 98.5 The Sports Hub is claiming See, I don't want to be the first guy to announce shit.
No, you know, it was
not like everybody else is like, you know, the first. I don't want to be.
It was in the RAS group chat. Okay. If you're in the RAS group chat, you can see all the information. Yeah. They put it out.
I could go on the covers.com forum and they post shit like that too. It's how it is, you know?
Yep.
I don't know. Where were we? Fucking LSU Auburn. Give me the over.
All right. You need to take the
over. Yeah. Yes. Both defenses stink. Actually, I was impressed with LSU the way they won last week. And I said that that's the way they should play. Hey, your quarterbacks are out. You need to give a good coach. You manage that thing and you win. And they did. So I'm going to give them props. But now you got to go on. Now you got to like go to Auburn and do it back to back weeks. I don't know if the quarterback's playing or not. But
TJ Finley was pretty good last week.
Yeah, of course. So I don't know. I Auburn's on the list. We don't touch them.
Yep.
We got to take a break quickly. It's the over under 95 podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the ropes with wrestling talk. And where you should put your money with over under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at over under 985.
All right, we're back. TCU sucked last week versus Oklahoma. And now they're favored against BYU on the road. Sorry, not doing it.
Against Baylor? Yeah.
Baylor. What did I say?
You said BYU.
Yeah, Baylor.
Yeah. Hey, this is a TCU got up for one game this year, it sounds like. I mean, really, Baylor, this opened as a pick-up. It has moved towards TCU. The sharp money is definitely there, which is a surprise to me that is the case. But, I mean, Baylor hasn't really been impressive, you know. Two losses on the road. TCU, I don't really think, has been super impressive tonight either. It's just, I don't know. It's not, I haven't been really, really impressed by either of these teams. TCU got the nice win at Texas. Outside of that, Baylor's one win is against Kansas. So, no, I'm passing on this TCU-Baylor game completely. I think this is a game that you just want to avoid. The total is a low one. I expect that, you know, there'll be some, you know, putrid offense as there has been the last few weeks. So we'll kind of continue along that trend. I'm passing on that game entirely.
All righty then. Sorry, I'm just getting my ducks in a row over here. Somebody else just sent me a note about Trevor Lawrence. Okay, maybe that thing's starting to get a little loud.
It's starting to get out on Twitter too, by the way, so.
Where were we? Okay. Hey, Notre Dame. They looked good last week, Dan. I watched the whole game. I bet them. Bet the over and it hit. Didn't give it out as a PP on the podcast, but did say on the show, hey, you know what?
You did on Saturday.
And I didn't a credit thing. I don't want the credit. It's just that I thought it was a good spot without Kenny Pickett. Notre Dame's tight end's pretty good. His name's Mike Mayer. I almost wanted to hit up our buddy Mike Mayer and be like, dude, killing it. Georgia Tech played BC. 57.5 here. Smelling under. Dude, Notre Dame's a top four team in the country, man. And like their offense just isn't right yet. They're just not right yet. So I'd lay off the 20 points, but I think under's the play here because their defense is really good.
I think you have to really take a strong look at Georgia Tech here. Not advocating the play.
I get it. Point like we know that they can score. I mean, look what they did against BC last week. They scored in 40-second drives at times last week.
Well, not only that, but Notre Dame hosts Clemson next week.
Oh, the old look ahead.
Which I assume that if Trevor Lawrence is out this week, they are quarantining him so that he can play next week. So that is my assumption that, you know, kind of everything is going on there. Georgia Tech, to me, two real bad losses in a row. You know, blown out by Clemson, blown out at BC. They'll score a little bit, but this Notre Dame defense is legit. 13 points versus Duke. Shut out South Florida. 26 versus Florida State, which I guess is the one, you know, outlier here. 7 versus Louisville, who we saw at an offensive outbreak last week. And Pitt, they allowed 3 points. The Notre Dame defense is fucking legit. I agree with you, Joe. Under.
Under. We're going with 330 games here. Northwestern, 1-0. Takes on Iowa, 0-1. Iowa's at home. Let's give you some previous matchups here. 2019 Iowa with a shutout. Now, Northwestern's offense was bad last year because, you know, they had how many different quarterbacks?
No quarterback. They didn't have a quarterback.
Peyton Ramsey, 5 touchdowns, 537 yards. Looked pretty good to me. So that's a difference maker there.
And Iowa opened the road opened the season on the road at Purdue with a loss. Lost 24-20. Yep. Did not cover. Obviously, Northwestern just crushed Maryland. Here's what I'll say about this one, Joe. I think that Northwestern's probably going to be overvalued coming into the week, and Iowa off the loss is going to be undervalued coming into the week. Iowa's got Michigan State next week. Northwestern's got Nebraska next week. Neither of them are in a look-ahead spot. This line feels like it's Iowa or nada to me. Opened at 3.5, which should kind of tell you I like Iowa here in the spot.
Okie smokey.
And the total in that one is now up to 46.
So I hate fading Iowa at home. That's like a thing of mine. Even in basketball.
And again, Northwestern.
If this was hoops, under.
Agreed. And let's not forget also that Peyton Ramsey was really good against Maryland, but like, how good is he going to be against Iowa? Remember, he wasn't exactly elite versus, you know, in Indiana. He got benched plenty. So, you know, let's not go crazy over Peyton Ramsey.
All right, let's move it along. One more 3:30 game. UAB at Louisiana Tech. UAB last week didn't come through for some people. Late in the game, tough loss. Lost their home winning streak, and now they go on the road to take on Louisiana Tech, who's got a running attack. They're going to be 12-point dogs this week. I kind of like the home dog in this one.
Yeah, UAB coming off the loss, though, home versus Lafayette. I mean, that is a game where there are a lot of people on both sides of that one. I know that people loved UAB. I feel like UAB was a more talented team. I still think they are, but their quarterback, really, Bryson Lucero, really struggled in that game. Louisiana Tech, back-to-back losses. Now, the game against Marshall, I can't really give them crap for, but at UTSA, that's a game you probably got to win if you want to be anywhere in the Conference USA. And I thought that was a pretty bad loss for them. UAB, in my opinion, is a significantly better team. It opened at 9, though. I wouldn't be shocked if La Tech finds a way to, you know, cover backdoor this pitch. I don't want to touch this one. I really don't. I feel like this is going to be a game to ignore. I think the best play in this one, honestly, Joe, is under. I think that you're going to see a good UAB defense. You know, La Tech's defense still is actually pretty decent. I think they were great last week, but just in general, they have been decent throughout the year. Now, I'll say this: 30 to Southern Miss, 38 to Houston Baptist. They put in their backups against Houston Baptist. Okay, 30 to Southern Miss. That was their opening week. They had half their team out with COVID. BYU, they allowed 45. It's BYU. 17 to UTEP. 35 to Marshall. They were bad in that game. I'm not going to lie. UTSA 27. So they actually have been pretty bad defensively the past 2 weeks. But I'm going to give them a bit of a pass early on. They had backups against Houston Baptist, and literally, like, half their team out was, well, both teams were out with fucking COVID week one. So you can't really get a ton of information on that. I still think there's a really good chance this game goes under. I'm not going to bet it. I'm not going to give it out, though.
All right, Dan, because of time constraints, I know I like to go through every game, but let's just, if you have a thought on it, we'll breeze through it. Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss 1-4, Vanderbilt's 0-3. Like, this is a game where Ole Miss should put up points. 16.5 point favorites, really. Anything for you here?
No, nothing for me here.
Ole Miss won this game 31-6 last year. We know Vandy's been a team on the rise. How about App State off their win going on the road as 31.5 point favorites at ULM? We've seen what ULM is. I don't know. For me, dude, I might, you know how you just like to chase numbers? I might chase App State here at 31.5.
I think you have to. I mean, yeah, I think you have to. Louisiana Monroe is horrendous. I mean, they got blown out, but Liberty beat them by 33. I mean, Liberty. And App State is a better team than Liberty in almost every facet of the game, I'd say. I mean, to me, this is, you got to go App State or nothing here. It's not like they're on a look at it. They're facing Texas State next week. App State needs big-time performances and everything, so I'd say App State's going to put it together. I go App State or nothing, not playing it.
All right, Dan. You backed this team last week. I'm going with them again here. I'm going Louisville at home, PP, plus 3.5. I know what Virginia Tech offense is. They're very good, but they've given up over 200 rushing yards a game. They haven't been at full strength because of COVID. I liked what Louisville's done. They put together a nice little stretch here. I know they haven't looked great, but last week I thought they looked good. And I'm going to back them again this week against a Virginia Tech team that's going on the road, still dealing with COVID stuff. It's just, can that Louisville defense stop the run? I'm going to cross my fingers.
Back-to-back road games for Virginia Tech too, so that's never a good
thing. You like those spots.
I like fading teams in those spots. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, Louisville looks like a potential good spot just based on that. I really don't have a good feel for this. I mean, Louisville's coming off a massive victory where they blew out Florida State, which we were on. You know, so I don't really know how to feel, because I feel like Louisville might be overrated. I feel like Virginia Tech might be underrated, but at the same time, like, you don't know who's going to play for Virginia Tech, and Louisville might have actually caught fire. So this is a game I actually don't really have a strong opinion, or I don't think I have a really good grasp on.
All right. Texas at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, they cover. Let's face it, they didn't cover last week, but they won the game. That's a good win.
They push most places. But
4-0, right? Texas needs this win. Dan, why do I keep fading Oklahoma State? Is there something? I don't know what it is. This is another week where I'm not going to PP it, but I like Texas in the spot, but the line doesn't help me. The 3.5, like, it just doesn't help me. I think that they think it's going to be a close game, and if it's 3.5, it's the same spot as a week ago. I like Texas. They need this win. First 4-0 start in Oklahoma State history. You know, they pulled out a nice win last week. Texas has had some issues, but I think they can beat Oklahoma State. I'm not gonna bet Texas, but I like Texas.
Yeah, I mean, Texas is the sharp side in this one. For the most part, it's gone from 3.5 down to 3 most places. Oklahoma State's about to run the gauntlet. They faced Iowa State last week. They're home versus Texas this week. They're at Kansas State next week, and then 2 weeks after that, they're at Oklahoma. So, I mean, the four hardest games for them are in a row. They're running the gauntlet here. You know, Texas is a good enough team that they're going to eventually catch some teams. You know, who are they going to catch? They face Oklahoma State, Iowa State, and Kansas State all on the road this year. How many guys are they going to bite? How many teams are they going to, you know, beat? I expect them to win one of those three at minimum. This may be it. I'm not going to back Texas in this spot. I'm not going to back Oklahoma State in this spot. I think it's tough to really pick a deciding side in this one. I think I'm just going to watch this game and ignore the betting scene on it.
Okay. Continuing on here. And I know those people who've joined late were a lot of games, man. We've been doing this for a little while now. Boise at Air Force. What happened to Air Force a week ago? Boise looked good. You mentioned it, dude. We didn't know what San Jose State was. They came out second half. It was 0-0 at halftime. I could not believe that.
Yeah.
Went under second half. Air Force, it's just San Jose State was good. I'm not sure what happened. I was out at the Kowloon. But I was looking at it. I couldn't believe that. I like what Air Force can do on the ground. I don't know what happened a week ago on the road. 14 points. Oof. Boise looked good though. I gotta give Boise credit. I thought they looked like the old Boise team.
Oh, yeah, I'm not gonna PP this one. I am gonna circle this one. It opened at 8.5. It's up to 14. I assume that's an overreaction to last week. San Jose State's a really good team. Like I think that San Jose State is underrated. I mean, we didn't know what they were coming in, but they're projected to be pretty good in the Mountain West. They're not the crap bag team that they were a few years ago. And Air Force was, you know, super overrated coming off that, you know, just shellacking of Navy where they won like 30. They won by 33, I think, 40-7, if I remember correctly, something like that. Anyways, Boise State, this is the game they are prepping for. You know they were looking at the Boise State as it anyways. Boise State coming off just the massacre of Utah State and looking ahead to BYU on a short week next week. So to me, this is an Air Force or nothing spot. I'm going to circle back around because it's 14. I'm not going to give it as a PP because I'd really like to get a 14.5. But if you have a 14 and you feel comfortable, I really like Air Force, and this is a spot I may revisit Saturday.
And then San Jose State's now 13.5 point favorites against New Mexico. I don't know much about New Mexico this year. They haven't played yet. They normally suck. You know, this is like I'll look at it on Saturday. We'll look at that one.
Yeah, this game got flipped. It was supposed to be, I believe, in New Mexico, and now it's being flipped to San Jose State. So the spread has been kind of, you know, flip-floppy here. 13.5 points. This is one I haven't looked a lot into. Let me get back to you on Saturday, this one as well. We can actually talk about this game Saturday.
Okay, here's the deal with this next game right here. It's Alabama. It's Mississippi State. Alabama scored 35 points in 18 straight games. Every game this year, they score 35 points. Mississippi State has pulled the old quarterback there.
Costello. Yeah, Costello's out.
I mean,
I believe Will Rogers is the replacement for him. True freshman.
They won 35-7 last year. Yeah, you mentioned Will Rogers has been trying to win that spot. I mean, this is Alabama's going to crush them. It's just by how many, again, 38-7 last year on the road, which would have been a 31 point cover, and they're worse this year. So like, you know, yeah, I'm out on this one.
Kylan Hill is out for the season for Miss State too. So they lose their star running back. It gets bad. Alabama has a bye off to this, so they don't even have to look at their potential LSU, you know, look ahead spot. Miss State, we're going to find out. I mean, it's crazy how much they have fallen since the first opening week win at LSU. And what's kind of trended, you know, how their offense has trended down ever since. I really thought they would play better against Texas A&M at home. They did not. Lost by 2 touchdowns there, although they turned the ball over 5 times in the red zone. Fucking insane. But nonetheless, Mississippi State, I'm not backing them. Bama is it's Bama or nothing. So
Arkansas at Texas A&M. Arkansas has been a 4-0 against the spread. Texas A&M won this game 31-27 last year. It's kind of a little bit of an upset last year. The Arkansas defense allowing 25.5 points per game. And Philippe Franks is the quarterback. Texas A&M offensive line's only given up 1 sack so far this year. So that's very good. What I don't like here is the double digit. Like, I know in general, when you look at it, you'd say that Texas A&M should be double digit favorites again and probably should win by double digits. In this spot here, the way that Arkansas has been playing, and what's happening right now with the coach, like there's a lot of COVID shit going on with Texas A&M. I'm staying away from it, but I like Texas A&M in the spot. I do. But Arkansas's been wagging against the spread.
They have been. And we may have targeting here early on in the South Alabama game. That was a bad hit on the quarterback there. That should be absolutely reviewed for targeting. I'm surprised it's not being yet. The Arkansas A&M game to me, Joe. Arkansas has been really good, but they're due for a clunker at some point. Maybe this is it. Maybe A&M, you know, kind of blows them out a little bit. This is a game I think that you, if you're looking to bet, this is a second half bet. That's the way I view it. Wow, no targeting. Oh, and some fumble for Southern Georgia Southern covering it back.
Let's just go over 52 points. That's all I care about.
All right. Next game, what we got?
Hey, dude, you can watch our TV. You can watch us on the television on YouTube. Did you know that?
I did, yeah.
I'm gonna retweet it out just so everybody can see our ugly-ass mugs.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on. And again, lightning round, Dan, but we talked about – you gave this one out this morning on Tucker and Rich. Southern Miss.
We missed a couple games. But that's
Charlotte Duke. How could we forget?
Yes, the incredibly great matchup.
You know what's funny? This is the first time they've ever played?
Yes, I think so.
Fucking Duke. Duke.
Dude, they're so bad. They have UNC next week. Charlotte is the Conference USA team getting up to play a Power 5 team. I think you got to go Charlotte here, honestly. Listen, it's not fun. Duke is like a 10-point favorite against them, which is crazy.
Duke plays hard every week, man. They're grinding. They need talent.
Charlotte's a good team still. I think that's a lot of points. I want nothing to do with the game. It just feels like a lot of points for a Power 5 team that sucks.
Yeah. Any other games we missed besides this? Nope. Navy, Southern Methodist. I think SMU is going to put up points. They're going to have to play defense this week, though.
I mean, I expect something similar to last week, where SMU is fucking pissed off after getting their dicks kicked in by Cincinnati, and they come back out and they kick the shit out of Navy. Now, again, I was on Navy for the ECU game, but let's not forget, they faced a freshman quarterback who had never played before, pretty much. So, I mean, if that quarter, you know, if ECU has Cole Nahlers, that's a totally different game. So, you know, they're still recovering from the COVID shit. They got their asses kicked by Houston last week. Navy did. I expect, you know, Navy to kind of take a shit here again. They have Tulsa next week and Memphis the week afterwards. Navy is going to start going on the tubes. I think SMU badly needs this win, because they need to stay. They're fifth in the American right now, like fifth. And Navy is actually leading their side. If SMU has any chance of winning their side of the bracket, they need Cincinnati to lose a couple games. They need to win this game. They need to win it big, in my opinion. So I'm going PP. Give me that PP. SMU minus 12 and a half.
Missouri, Florida, anything here? Florida won this game 23-6. They play tight. That's the only thing I don't like about these two. Florida coming back home. I know they're dealing with some COVID shit as well.
Yep.
Oh, God. It's everywhere, dude.
Everyone.
I think Florida should win by two touchdowns. I think they should.
They definitely should, but it does kind of, the line does feel like a potential backdoor. Like, why is this not 14 or 14 and a half? Why is it 12 and a half?
I remember this game last year. I sweated the shit out of it. I remember it. They covered, but it was like a fucking sweat till the end.
Yeah, and Florida has Georgia next week, Joe. So, like, this is like the ultimate look at spot. Missouri's got a bye next week, you know, before they face Georgia. So, like, this is a look-ahead spot for Florida. Look-ahead, you know, past a Missouri team who has played pretty well their past two games, a 45-41 victory versus LSU and a 20-10 victory against Kentucky. Now, you know, I'm not saying those are cracking wins, but they're not bad. So, you know, Power 5 wins. I think Missouri has a chance to cover here, honestly. Florida might overlook them.
Ohio State goes to Penn State. Last year, Ohio State won this game by 11 points. Let's not forget, a couple of years ago, Penn State went in Ohio State and beat them outright. Penn State losing was devastating against Indiana last week. They're at home. There were some weaknesses in Ohio State. There were. The line's 12. It opened at 10. It went to 12.
It actually opened at 8 in Vegas on Sunday. Circa openers opened at 8.
So if there were fans and there was a whiteout, I'd so back Penn State here. Because of that factor, I still think it's going to be a close game. I don't know. I still can't believe Penn State lost. But if they, let's just hypothetically say they won last week, is the line 12?
No, I think it's a slight reaction to what happened last week. And we talked about Penn State was looking ahead to Ohio State. Of course they were. This is the biggest fucking game on their season. They look, it's Penn State taking on Ohio State and Michigan. Like, those are the two biggest games every fucking year. Big Ten, they circle those. They probably thought they could beat Indiana, slip by. They couldn't due to, what is the wildest review ever. This, I think Ohio State wins, but I agree. And I'm an Ohio State fan. I don't think they cover. I just don't.
I thought Fields looked good. He still has talent. Their defense is still good up front. They had holes. Nebraska stinks. It's hard to really take much, take much out of that. But circling that game. We'll talk about that one on Saturday. ULL, Texas State. ULL should win that game, right? Texas State at home.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they should. Texas State, again, we talked about how they're 1-6. Here's the thing. It's 17 points. It's a lot. This is just a spread I don't want to touch. It does kind of feel similar to like that Troy game, or sorry, the UTSA game earlier in the season. The Raging Cajuns are a better team though, and they may be looking ahead to Arkansas State next week because this is not really an important, super important game. They need to win, but they have Arkansas State, Southern Alabama, and App State. The others are Central Arkansas, Louisiana, Monroe, and Texas State. These are not games they're going to take too seriously. So if they can get a little bit of, look ahead time, this may be it. This may be one day to say, fuck it, we're going to look ahead. And, this is potential to be a loss.
Oklahoma, Texas Tech. Texas Tech gets that win last week. Again, I'm telling you, and we're going to talk about this every week. I thought Rattler has been great since the Red River shootout. He's been great. They completely wore down TCU last week. TCU was so bad. So maybe I'll chalk that up as really bad TCU team, but still, their defense did well. They've scored 50 points in every game in the series, the last 8 games. I know Texas Tech won last week. The 14.5 I don't like. I think Oklahoma wins this game. I think they go on a roll in the Big 12 here. 14.5. I can't do 14. Oof. I think they win, Dan. Just 14.5. Can't do it.
I think Oklahoma ends up being the side here. I do. I think they're telling you with the 14.5, they want you to take the Tech side. I think maybe Oklahoma wins this game by like 17-ish. I don't love it. This is certainly not a game I'm looking forward to playing or anything like that. It's just I'm not gonna not back them. I'm not gonna take Texas Tech in this, but I'm certainly not backing Oklahoma State here. Nope.
Okay, Virginia, North Carolina, going to be a hell of a game. This was the Mac Brown, Sam Howell, come out party last year. Virginia won this game 38-31. It was fucking back and forth. It was great. I like North Carolina in this spot. I do. And what's the line here? The over might be in play as well. What the fuck's the spread?
It's 7 right now. It opened at 6.5. It's up to 7.
7-point dog for Virginia. 1-4. I like PP. North Carolina -7.
The only problem is I just don't know what to expect with North Carolina week to week. You know what I mean? They're like this team that you just getting a fucking grasp on them is very tough to me.
You know what it is? They're front runners. If they don't get an early lead, they suck and play terrible. When they get off to early starts, dude, like 14, 21, nothing, whatever, they just fucking roll, They're wicked front runners. wicked front runners.
This is a game I just don't feel confident about taking a side. And I'm glad that you do, because at least, you know, someone does. The problem is back-to-back roadies at Virginia and then at Duke next week. And to me, this is just – I don't know what to think. I don't know what Virginia team we're going to get. We haven't gotten a good Virginia team in a few weeks. Now, they showed up against Miami last week. But could this be a letdown? I don't know. I really don't know what team we're going to get there.
Okay. And then two more games. We have what is it here?
Three more games.
Oh, whoops. San Diego State goes to Utah State. I think we liked San Diego State last week, right?
Yes, we did.
And then Utah State obviously lost to Boise. I fucking Mountain West, dude. I got to get more into that. But from everything I read, good things on the San Diego State side of things. Obviously, Utah State's going with a new quarterback this year. I got not much on that game.
It's San Diego State or nothing. Utah State is not the same team without Jordan Love. They lost a lot of last year's team. Carson Baker is the quarterback for San Diego State, and Greg Bell. They're solid. They were really good last week versus UNLV. Not saying much because UNLV sucks, but I think this Utah State team is in for a bad, bad fucking season, like a real regression. Their first few games are Boise State, San Diego State, at Nevada, home versus Fresno, at Wyoming. There's a chance they may not win a single one of those games. They may get their first win the next week at New Mexico. I'm gonna fade Utah State here.
BYU 28.5, hate the hook. BYU, I don't know if I publicly have said this, but I think Zach Wilson will be an NFL quarterback and could be a possible day one or day two drafted quarterback. That being said, I think they roll Western Kentucky. Hate the hook, though.
Yeah, I mean, Western Kentucky needed a field goal in the final few seconds to touch
their 0-6 against the spread.
Yeah, now Tyrell Brigrome is starting this week, so that's a little, you know.
Yeah, he was at Maryland last year.
Right, good news. He played, like, I think part of the game last week, but not the full game. I honestly did not pay attention because it was the Chattanooga game. But to me, Western Kentucky's so bad, dude. There are two wins this year. At Middle Tennessee State, 20-17. Home versus Chattanooga, 13-10. BYU should fucking kill this team. They should. The problem is they have Boise State on the road on a short week next week. Can't back them. Can't do it in that spot.
And again, I know we have the Nevada UNLV game, but BYU and Marshall are my two, like, you know, teams that could come out of nowhere, like be a New Year's Six possible, you know, team. And then I like the Chanticleers, but we'll see what happens with that. And then Nevada with a win. I mean, for everything I read, surprising. People were impressed with Nevada. Obviously, UNLV is what it is, but they did have what's his name as their new coach. 14-point dogs open at 10. It's gone to 14. Again, I haven't really looked into the Mountain West once because, again, it's just they're. For me, it's like I kind of wait till Sunday NFL. You know, I dabbled at BYU last week. It hit, but I don't know anything on this.
I mean, the Carson Strong and Nevada are very good, but the second half of that game showed their true colors. They were front running against Wyoming, and then Wyoming got back in the game. Let's not forget Wyoming lost their quarterback three plays into the game. So, I mean, you know, that altered the entirety of that game. I feel Nevada got a big jump and momentum boost in that, you know, early on. But after that, you know, they really weren't impressive in the second half. I thought they were downright, you know, pitiful. I didn't think they should have won that game. UNLV is not good either. It's two touchdowns on the road. Now, again, it's not exactly a far fucking trip to go to Las Vegas, but still, I mean, it's something I really don't want. UNLV can run the ball a little bit. I thought Nevada struggled with that last week. I'll pass for now.
Okay. So that is it for our college football. Again, Saturday morning, 7 a.m. to 9. We're going to have more breakdowns. This Ohio State Penn State game, we got to get a new one. A few Mountain West games, I think we should pay more attention to. So stay tuned for that. Obviously, we don't want to do 2-hour podcasts. It's just we're like one of the only podcasts we talk every single game, and usually the NFL is a little faster to go through. So After this quick break, we have the 1 o'clock slate in the NFL week 8 coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hardcore baseball talk, inside the ropes with wrestling talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
All right, Dan, Colts go to Detroit. Detroit off that win. They're 3-3. Colts 4-2. Last man, I haven't played in a while. Colts had a bye week. Their running game hasn't been great. You seem to have a pretty good eye on the Colts this year.
I do not.
You know what I mean? You put your money on them. So would you back them here?
I think I got to be out on the Colts train early on, for at least a little bit. Every time I back them, it just feels like they're pitiful. Phillip Rivers is washed. The defense is really good, and, you know, I think that may be the reason that they have some success this week. But just in general, the Colts defense, the Colts offense is just, it's hard to watch. And T.Y. Hilton's really struggling offensively. Jonathan Taylor has had flashes, but all in all, hasn't been super fantastic this year. I don't know. This is the Lions wide receivers. Galladay and Marvin Jones have been outright fantastic. And Hawkinson seems to finally be picking up the offense. This is just not a game I really want to get behind. And I think I'm just going to take a pass on the game completely. I don't know what to expect here. I really don't.
I'm sorry. Hang on one second.
I'll continue talking.
I got distracted. Okay. So we have Minnesota going to Green Bay. Green Bay is -6. They bounced back last week. Last meeting between these two. I was going to say the last two Vikings. Vikings have a banged up defense. We know they traded this week for what's his name there, Griffin. Minnesota, dude, I think Green Bay wins this game.
Again, it's Minnesota off the bye. Minnesota at least has the bye week coming up. Or coming off the bye. Green Bay, to me, I mean, they're a wagon right now, dude. I know they struggled against the Bucs and they had that fucking clunker after going up 10-0, but they're still a wagon. They were fantastic against the Texans. The 35-20 score does not represent how one-sided that game was, in my opinion. I really thought they demolished them. I think Green Bay, you know, this team should put up points. They should be, you know, okay defensively. I think, again, you gotta probably ride the Green Bay train until it's nothing. So, it looks like now everyone's now leaking out that Trevor Lawrence is out. So we're seeing now. It looks like that does appear to be correct.
Did you know the Packers are 8-0 straight up? Their last 8 games at home, they're winning by 10 points or more.
Yeah, again, that's the other thing. Green Bay in Lambeau is fucking awesome, and let's not forget. And Green Bay really tore Minnesota apart defensively earlier on in the season. I expect something very similar here.
Okay. I already locked this one up. Let's just do it again. Jets at Chiefs. Give me the Chiefs -19.5.
PP, right?
PP.
There you go. So you get the...
we'll just move on because that's what my pick is. Pick it.
Yeah, and stick that's it. Fine. I got no. I'm not backing either side there.
Vegas at Cleveland. So I'm backing Cleveland this. I'm backing Vegas this week. I had Cleveland a week ago. They came back and won the game. Now I think Beckham's going to be a loss, but Peoples Jones played very well. And Mayfield's been playing very well. As you know, if you ask me, I know they're hurt in the secondary there. Myles Garrett, another 2 sacks last week. The only thing I'm concerned about here is that Raiders defense is ranked 28th against the pass, giving up like 280 yards a game. They need to get at Baker Mayfield if they want to have some success in this game. Don't know why, Dan. I just have a feeling based off the line that I like Vegas this week.
I like the over if you're going to make me play a side in this one. I think that Cleveland is going to put up some points. I know that the Beckham loss is going to be big, but as you said, they have other receiving options. And Njoku obviously coming back. He's a nice addition again with Harrison Bryant.
Bryant's been good, I got to admit.
Yeah, so, I mean, they have a couple of tight ends. Peoples-Jones was really good last week. I'm not expecting crazy production from him every week, but, you know, they'll get Kareem Hunt going in the pass game. They will put up points against the Raiders. I'm not concerned about that, but the Raiders should be able to do the same. Again, the Raiders' offense is, you know, there's no superstars, but between Ruggs and Renfro, they're able to, move the ball pretty well. Jacobs was stifled last week against, Tampa, which is not a surprise. They have a really good run defense, but they should be able to run the ball, pick up some yards. I mean, I expect a higher scoring game, between these two. I know a lot of people love the under. I'm just not really sure why.
You know that the over's gone over in the Browns. Five of the Browns lost 6 games.
Yeah, they did not go over against the Steelers. Remember that.
Yeah, but the Browns are 3-7 against the spread their last 10 games, but 7-1 straight up at home their last 8. So, that's a lot of these games, I have a problem going Cleveland back to back. It's like, it's a thing for me. So Pittsburgh, Baltimore, same thing, Dan. I took Pittsburgh +4. And that's what I did in my league. I'm not PPing it, but that's what I picked for this week. What was it? John Harbaugh's 10-2 straight up, 9-3 against the spread off the bye. But the Steelers, when they play teams on the road that are good teams, they're 7-1 against the spread. I know that there's a lot of things that will back the Ravens, but as home favorites, dude, they're 5-12 against the spread in the last season. So 17 games, let's call it. When they're a home favorite, they're 5-12 against the spread. So that's why I'm fading them this week.
Yeah. PP, I'm going to fade you, Joe. I'm going to take Baltimore. I don't understand the Steelers loving this spot. Baltimore off the bye. I mean, really, it's not Andy Reid off the bye, but it's damn close. This is it's a divisional game. Pittsburgh it's going to be a fucking battle. And Pittsburgh right now is starting to feel the injury bug. Deontay Johnson's got hurt. I mean, they're starting to get banged up, and I got to say, Baltimore to me, I know they let up in that fourth quarter against the Eagles, but to me, this is an obvious Baltimore spot. I think everyone's going to be on Pittsburgh. Everyone's going to see, the 4, the 3.5 and be like, oh, I got to take the points, but I just don't feel like this is a good spot for Pittsburgh. Baltimore off the bye to me is a spot you have to take almost every year routinely. I don't care if it's the Steelers. I'm not fading Harbaugh, and I'm going to take Baltimore here. This is my favorite NFL play, favorite NFL spot of the week.
All right, we're on different lanes on that one. Tennessee, Cincinnati. I have Tennessee, 3.5, 5.5, whatever it is. Cincinnati crushing loss last week. We know what happened with Tennessee coming off a loss as well. I just wanted to see some of the trends in this one because I want to know what Tennessee does off a loss. The Bengals have. Oh, they traded Dunlap this week, so that could be different for them.
Titans, he hasn't played much for them, though.
Yeah. Titans 7-1 straight up their last 8 games on the road. Bengals, though. Bam, here you go. Bengals 5-1 against the spread the last 6 games overall.
this is a pass for me. I really don't know what the hell to expect here, to be honest with you. I don't know if I should be expecting, like, you know, Tennessee to rebound and coming off a loss. I know they were really bad that first half, like really, really, really bad. And then Cincinnati has been a fucking covering machine. Like, you either got like 3.5, you might have gotten 3.5 at worst. They pushed last week. They covered against, you know, the Colts. They didn't cover against Baltimore, but they covered against Philly, Cleveland, and the Chargers. Like, they've been just against the spread machine. I think this is one, like, everyone's going to be on the Titans in the bounce back, and I really don't know. This is a game I really don't want anything to do with, Joe. I think this is going to be a really tough game because you could make arguments for both sides legitimately.
The one bets that I see coming in everywhere is that people love the Dolphins this week versus the Rams. Any insight for you on this one?
No, I mean, I get the thought process there. Like, LA off a bad loss to a good win, back to a potential, you know, road trip again, a potential road trip to Miami. I get it. Miami was really good against the Jets a couple weeks ago, and I think they're coming off the bye. Am I right? I think they are. They're coming off the bye, so maybe that's it. But to me, I still think LA is the better team. They could run the ball with Henderson and Brown. Akers really has not touched the ball at all, which has been surprising to me. But they have so many weapons, there as well. And the Rams defense, really, Tua's first start, like, this is – rookie quarterback versus, in my opinion, a very, very good defense, a cornerstone up front, Donald, who's going to put pressure on the ball game, and a really good corner, Ramsey. I wouldn't want to back the Dolphins. And I think that people are going to be on the Tua train as well, Joe. I think that's going to be another thing there.
The Rams are 1-10 in their last 11 games versus the Dolphins.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, what's the record? Do you have the record in Miami? Was there one win in Miami? If not, then you could probably make the assumption they're 0-4.
I'd have to dig.
Okay, that's fine. But either way, the record in Miami is obviously not great. Regardless, they've one win in their last 11 games.
So Dan, today changed my mind on this Bills Patriots game. The Bills right now 3.5. They're at home. I think it's the Patriots season, because if they win this week, they beat the Jets next week. It's 4-4, and they're just back in business. The Julian Edelman news to me is the first domino of the offense, like, struggling, and, you know, I just feel like it's the first domino to fall. Then if Cam Newton doesn't play well, he gets benched. You know what I mean? And then boom, they trade guys at the deadline.
Forget bench, you might get caught.
Yeah, we either are. You know, all I'm saying is that the Patriots can run the football on Buffalo. They can. I don't think Cam Newton's healthy, and I think that's the problem. It's easy to say Cam Newton, so I just don't think he's healthy, dude. I know they can win this game. I'm not putting my money on the Patriots this week, and I don't know. The total's 41. They have to put up some points to win this game. So I'd lean over off the bat just in general. But I think the Pats are going to run, dude, because that's the only way they're going to beat Buffalo.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is Buffalo or nothing, which disgusts me because I'm a Patriots fan. But unless – here's the thing. The Patriots had success when they made Cam Newton go to the RPO, okay? I feel like the past 2 weeks, they've been – Cam Newton's been a passer. They haven't run him. Newton, Cam, if you're not healthy, then don't play. But you have to fucking run the ball to be successful. They have to run the RPO. They need play action to be successful. That's what they thrived on. That's what they did so well against Seattle. That's what they did so well the opening week against Miami. Like, they need to do that. They need to get back to that. And to me, if they do not run the ball this week, they're going to lose, because the way you beat Buffalo is running the fucking football. And you can't just run the ball down the throat every time. They're going to load up the box. So Cam Newton has to be willing to run the ball. Has to be a willing runner and willing to, you know, throw the play action or whatever. And I agree, Joe. He's hurt. Something's wrong with either the foot or the neck or the shoulder, because he's not going to the right side of the field, and that's a problem. I know they're calling it a coincidence, but they were horrendous last week. And To me, until you see them fix it, you can't back them. I don't care if it's Bill Belichick. I can't do it. So I do think it's a little different because it's a divisional opponent. You expect them to kind of get on track, and they need to win. They're going to beat the Jets next week. This will put them at 4-4, and then they lose to the Ravens, and they beat the Texans. They're 5-5, and then really anything can happen against the Cardinals, Chargers, Rams, Dolphins, Bills, Jets. Like, really anything can happen there. So this is a must win, but I'm not backing the Patriots, and I certainly don't feel confident. To me, Buffalo or nothing, and I'm not taking Buffalo. So I'm taking nothing.
Okay. And there's still more time. We'll discuss a lot of these games on Saturday. Chargers, Denver, opened at 1. Now Denver getting 3 at home. The more I look at this, the more I lean the Chargers. And I don't know if that's, again, I got a bad taste in my mouth from last week. I know the Chiefs kind of destroyed them. I'm trying to find some, props on this one, but the under's been big in this one. So the Chargers have been 1-6. Their last 7 against divisional opponents. That's not good. But the Broncos, same thing. 1-7 against their divisional opponents at home. But they're 6-0 against the spread after a loss the last 6 games.
This game is off the board right now, and I'm not sure why. I think it's probably
one of the tackles, Groy, got COVID protocol.
Right. So I was going to say, I think it's probably because of the COVID stuff. Nonetheless, I lean Denver. I do. I think these are probably two similar teams. You have similar quarterbacks. I'd say Herbert obviously is outperforming Locke, but just in general, like, inexperienced quarterbacks on the road in divisional games. The Chargers are, both teams are 2-4. The Chargers win. Let's not remember, before that win, they beat the Jaguars. Like, let's not get too crazy about it. Jaguars, bad defensively. Minshew was hurt, and they only won by 10. Their other win is against the Bengals. Like, they've lost to the Chiefs, Panthers, Bucks, and Saints. Any sort of good competition. Now, saying the same thing with Denver. Like, their wins are against the Jets and the Patriots. So, two bad teams here. I just think I'll take the home team in that scenario. So, I don't know. I'll pass on the game for now. I lean under.
So, I've been down this road before. New Orleans at Chicago. Chicago's getting 4.5 at home. Dan, in a past life, I've bet this game before. In Chicago covers. I've bet this game before. I know it. Know it in my head. And I took Chicago in my pick'em league. 4.5. Was Chicago bad on Monday. They were bad, dude. And I don't know if they can go throw for throw with Drew Brees. And I agree with all that. But I've seen it before, Dan. Chicago covers this game.
Again, I think coming off a game like that where they just put up a clunker, I would expect a rebound performance from Chicago. I do. And I think the Saints got lucky to escape with a win against the Panthers team last week, who, I thought was pretty good. I couldn't see Chicago winning this game outright and taking this one. They're a good 5-2 team, and now they're getting 5 at home. And again, this game, this line opened at 2.5. The Saints opened as 2.5-point favorites, and now we're at 5. So the sharps are definitely on New Orleans here, backing, fading Chicago off a bad performance. I think I'm going to take the points. I'm not going to PP it or anything, but I do like Chicago in the bounce back. It almost feels like the Rams bounce back against Chicago last week, where the Rams bounce back in a good spot laying 6. Well, now it's just the Bears are getting points instead. I think it's a bounce back spot, and I like the Bears.
Couple more games here as we wrap it up. San Fran, Seattle. Dude, I think Seattle's good. They got Dunlap on defense. I know you mentioned he didn't play. They're going to find a role for him. Can San Fran have that running game against them? I'm not sure. They opened at 6. It's down to 3. That kid Wilson's hurt, so they're not gonna have a prime back this week.
They're gonna go with Jamichael Hasty and McKinnon.
Okay, I know they can throw in Seattle. I know they can. I don't know, man. For me, it's Seattle, but you just look at the last match. Yeah, San Fran won the last matchup 26-21, but that was. In the playoffs last year.
Yep.
tight game.
I agree with you. I think it's Seattle or nothing. Seattle coming off that loss. Again, I thought that was a really good game with the Cardinals. Both teams went back and forth. I don't think Garoppolo and the Niners can do that. They're pretty much a one-dimensional team, in my opinion. Like, you run the ball to set up the pass, and so, you know, the Niners will score some points. But if they blitz Garoppolo and they get pressure on him, they do exactly what the Patriots didn't do. They have speed on that defense. They'll tackle on that defense. It's a divisional game. I think Seattle comes back. I think Seattle bounces back and wins this game. I think they'll probably win it going away too. I wouldn't be shocked if the Niners got like blown out in this game, you know, had a kind of like a repeat of performance against like the Dolphins a couple weeks ago and just get, you know, got the shit kicked in. I think we're going to see a regression more towards that team against Seattle.
Would you go with DiNucci or Cooper Rush for Dallas?
I go Cooper Rush. But I don't think it matters. I really don't. I think you're looking at, You're splitting hairs, honest to God.
Like, it's just fucked up that, like, somehow, I don't know. I just, I was going to say, like, a guy like Blake Bortles couldn't play in a game. I don't know. I'm not even going to bring up the other issue. You said it. I didn't. But it's just, it's fucked up. Yeah. And then, Brian, Dan, I've said this before, and I know it's just a random talk. I think the Patriots offense was its best this year when Brian Hoyer was at quarterback. It's just Brian Hoyer wasn't the best quarterback this year. But I do think it was at its best. But that's another different story for a different day. Philadelphia, if they can't win this fucking game, oh, my God. Out. Out, 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 out.
Yeah, finally. Open at 7.5. It's up to 10 now, Joe. Like, would you lay 10 with Philly?
Probably.
Oh, I don't think I can.
You can't touch Dallas at this point.
I don't think I can. Yeah, but I still don't think I can lay 10.
Like, dude, it's going to be Sunday night, and we're going to be like, all right, let's see if Boston Scott can rush for 47 yards.
You know what's going to happen. The refs are going to somehow get Philly a backdoor, Dallas a backdoor. They're going to get him down the field and whatever.
All right. Tampa Bay Giants. Here we go. Tom Brady, Giants. Blah! Is Antonio Brown playing?
He is, I believe, suspended for this week and inactive next week. Is that right? I believe that's the case.
Okay.
I believe he has one more week until he can play. So, listen, I don't think there's a ton to say about this game right now. I think, you know, Tampa Bay minus 12 is the line right now. The Giants are a pitiful team. The fucking turf monster gets them last week, Joe. Gets Daniel Jones on that run. And that, I mean, you know, they ended up scoring. But, I mean, like, that just felt like such a momentum switch almost in the game. Philly came back. You knew they were going to score in that final drive. They won the game 22-21. It stays under the total, which we had because they failed the two-point conversion. So that was nice. Close game. I don't think this is going to be a close game. Tampa Bay may be looking, you know, may not be paying attention. They may be looking ahead to the Saints. So, you know, this is a potential look ahead to New Orleans, which, you know, again, we don't talk about a ton in the NFL because, you know, it's the NFL. But I mean, you know, it's just, this is a game where I cannot back the Giants. I just can't do it. I won't do it.
Tampa Bay or nothing. Bet the over because Giants will lose. Somebody mentioned, Joe, what'd you say about Brian Hoyer? I said that the Patriots offense this year, their offense looked the best this year. The typical Patriots offense was run with Brian Hoyer. They moved the football.
You're right.
They moved the ball. The problem was Brian Hoyer in the red zone was a fucking moron. I brought this up to Bedard just fucking around. I was like, hey, man, what about like Hoyer playing like, you know, the middle of the field and then you bring in Cam Newton around the goal line?
Yeah, I'm sure he told you
you're and he, cr- he crushed me for it.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, but you know, Dan, how else are they going to move the fucking football? They're trying to Edelman throwing to Cam Newton.
You go back to the RPO. I'm telling you, that's what you got to do.
I agree. The problem is, Cam, you got to throw to your right. You know? You got to throw to your right. That was the number. I know we got to go. That was the number one thing this year, was that he, last year, did not throw to the right side of the field because of his shoulder.
I agree.
He hasn't thrown to the right side of the field. You're going to lose if they take down one side of the field. Fuck. All right. So I know someone's up, people are upset we did 90% college and only 10% NFL. We'll be back Saturday morning, 7 to 9. How about that?
We'll do a lot of NFL Saturday. I know there's a ton of college games. We go over all of them. It is what it is. So that
damn college football game, boring ass game, Georgia Southern. Thought there was gonna be points, Dan.
I didn't know what to think. Triple option. Yeah, the second half could go into overtime, man, easily.
Maybe we can have an overtime back and forth battle. That'd be great. All right, we got to get out of here. It is kickoff time. Let's go, Carolina Panthers.
No, hold on. Per Mike Garofalo, Trevor Lawrence has tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh. Who had it first?
Blue check. Actually, RAS had it first, so I did not have it. I'm not taking credit for it. Come on. I can't take credit for that shit. That's not me. We gave it to you. If you got on it, that's awesome. We are not taking, I am not taking credit for something I did not break.
When sports news breaks, we break it.
I agree.
He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. We will have this up whenever. This has been another edition of the Over Under 985 podcast.
Who you got?
Bye, Dan.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.